அருட்பெரும் ஜோதி, அருட்பெரும் ஜோதி, தனிப்பெரும் கருணை, அருட்பெரும் ஜோதி. பராபரம் கோதகலம் அனாமயம் போதநிலை, பகாநலம் வாதமறு சுகோதயம் பாதிதமிழ், நிராமயம் காரகமதிலாத சஞ்சீவினல் நிராசை கொண்டாருடைய நிகேதனம் சூதமுரல், வாராத இன்பார இணை முன்னாளில் வந்தே அருளி, மகாபலம் செய்தவருள் வீராவு செம்பாத நம, ராமலிங்கார் மனதில் ராதசந்தோட நம, ராமலிங்காய நம, ராமலிங்காய நம. திருவிளங்க சிவயோக சித்தியெல்லாம் விளங்க, சிவஞான நிலை விளங்க, சிவானுபவம் விளங்க, திருவிளங்கு திருத்தில்லை திருச்சிற்றம்பலத்தே திருக்கூத்து விளங்க, ஒளி சிறந்த திருவிளக்கே, உருவிளங்க உயிர் விளங்க உணர்ச்சியது விளங்க, உலகமெலாம் விளங்க அருள் உதவு விருந்தாயாம், மறுவிளங்கு குழல்வள்ளி மகிழ்ந்தொருபால் விளங்க, வயங்குமணி புது விளங்க வளர்ந்த சிவக்குழந்தை. அன்பினம் பிடியுள் அகப்படு மலையே, அன்பினம் குடில் புகும் அரசே, அன்பினம் வளைக்குட்படு பரம்பொருளே, அன்பினம் கரத்தமர் அமுதே, அன்பினம் கடத்துள் அடங்கிடும் கடலே, அன்பினம் உயிர் ஒளிர் அறிவே, அன்பினம் அணுவுள் அமைந்த பேருளியே, அன்புருவாம் பரசுவமே. திருச்சிற்றம்பலம். Today, January 26, 2020, we have all gathered for a good cause to feed our souls with divinity. We pray to our Supreme God that everyone in this satsang gets benefited today with divine information shared and kindled in our thoughts. We welcome all brothers and sisters from different parts of the world who are connected to this live conference and Facebook Live to this weekly satsang headed by our Guru Valalar and facilitated by Valalar Universal Mission, USA. We think spreading Sanmarga to non-Tamil aspirants is very important, so the entire world will be benefited by Valalar's teaching. Dr. Til Raghu, today's speaker, has gracefully volunteered to have a series of talk in English in next coming months. Today's session will be recorded as usual and will be uploaded to valalarspace.com and Valalar Universal Mission USA.com, and we will share the link to everyone via WhatsApp groups. Today's speaker is Dr. Til Raghu from Las Vegas. The topic for today is a program of education based on Sutta Sanmarga, and in Tamil it's translated as Valalar Kattiya Kalvi Murai. With blessings of our Guru Valalar and Supreme God Arutpiram Jogi, we welcome all of you again and pray that the current participants and the future listeners to this session will be greatly benefited by the information shared. Now Mr. Prasanna will recite a few Tiruvarudpa songs.
அருட்பெரும் ஜோதி, அருட்பெரும் ஜோதி, தனிப்பெரும் கருணை, அருட்பெரும் ஜோதி. ஆறாம் திருமுறை. நான் ஏன் பிறந்தேன்? குலத்திடையும் குடியன், ஒரு குடித்தனத்தும் குடியேன், குறிகளிலும் குடியன், அன்றி குணங்களிலும் குடியேன், மலத்திடையே புழுத்த சிறு புழுக்களிலும் கடையேன், வன்மனத்து பெரும்பாவை வஞ்சகெஞ்ச புலையேன், நலத்திடை ஓர் அணு அளவும் நன்னுகிலேன், பொல்லா நாய்க்கு நகை தோன்ற நின்றேன், பேய்க்கும் மிக இழிந்தேன், நிலத்திடை நான் ஏன் பிறந்தேன், என் கருத்தை அறியேன், நெற்குணனே நடராஜ நிபுணமணி விளக்கே. 23 சிவதரிசனம். திருவுடையாய் சிற்சபை வாழ் சிவபதியே, எல்லாம் செய்ய வல்ல தனித்தலைமை சித்த சிகாமணியே, உரு உடை என் உயிர்க்கு உயிராய் ஒழுகின்ற ஒளியே, உண்ணுதொரும் என் உள்ளத்தே ஊறுகின்ற அமுதே, அருவுடைய பெருவெளியாய் அது விளங்கு அது விளங்கு வெளியாய், அப்பாலுமாய் நிறைந்த அருட்பெரும் ஜோதியனே, மறுவுடையா சிவகாமவள்ளி மணவாளா, வந்தருள்க அருட்ஜோதி தந்தருள்க விரைந்து. அருட்பெரும் ஜோதி, அருட்பெரும் ஜோதி, தனிப்பெரும் கருணை, அருட்பெரும் ஜோதி.
Thank you, Mr. Prasanna. Now again, I welcome everyone and especially Dr. Til Raghu to start his speech.
Yes, good morning to everybody. Vanakkam. Thank you. Needless to say, it's a rare privilege to be able to have the opportunity to speak about Valalar's teachings. Because every time we immerse ourselves in the teachings of Valalar, the true teachings of Valalar, we are tuning ourselves to his being, to the extent I guess we are capable of. So that's a very rare privilege. As I think I mentioned in the last conversation, dialogue or talk, the teacher spirit is there in the teachings. And the more we absorb the teachings and practice them, contemplate them, think about them, discuss them, the more we are in tune with the teacher. So that is what is going on here. And we have to, I think, in my view, consider this a rare privilege or punyam. Okay, so let us start. Actually, I should have added the word higher. So it is actually a program. The title should have been a program of higher education. That is the main focus of this this conversation or talk, if you will. Program of higher education based on Sudarshan Margam. And I can only give some sketches and then pursue some specific things on later occasions. So we can start with by taking note of Vallalar's emphasis on education as such, Kalvi. And it is evident in one of his early letters, the letter in 1858 to Irukkam Rattina Mudaliyar. So in 1858, Vallalar was 35 years old. And Vallalar writes in that letter, the end of that letter, and can everyone hear me? I just want to make sure, double check.
Yes, Doctor, we can hear you.
All right. He says, Siranjeevi Namastivaya Pillai Avvidam Padikka Vendum Endru Varugindran Avanai Padippin Vishayathil Mathiram Adikkadi Visarikka Vendum. So, in English, that means Siranjeevi Namastivaya Pillai, who was a relative of Ramalingam, maybe a nephew or something, has gone there, that is to Chennai, and this is the letter to Irukkam Rattina Mudaliyar, who was a long time, early associate of Vallalar, friend of Vallalar's youth when Vallalar moved to Chennai, or his family moved to Chennai, a city in southern India. So in any case, this letter says, in English translation, Siranjeevi Namasivaya Pillai has gone there, or has come there to Chennai to pursue his education. Evidently, Vallalar was not in Chennai when he wrote this. You may ascertain regularly his progress in his studies. And then he says, I wish to hear soon about the well-being of yourself and Nayaka. My mind is anxious on account of this concern. Therefore, you must let me know. We know that's an indication of Vallalar's usual, almost motherly concern for the well-being of his friends and associates. But in any case, the important lines are the ones where he says, in which he says, Siranjeevi Namasivayam has come there to pursue his education. You may ascertain regularly his progress in his studies, and of course, you know, inform me, sort of, to that effect. So, avanai padippin vishayathil mathiram adikkadi visarikka vendum. So he's only interested in progress that Namasivayam Pillai makes in his education. There is another letter, in which Vallalar again emphasizes, there are some interesting remarks on education. I think I have a couple of pieces in my blog, Letters of Ramalingam, which I need to continue. In fact, I've started certain I've opened up some theories and they need to be completed. So there's some pending work to be done on the blog on Ramalingam or Valala. So the second letter, which is dated May 31st, 1858, again to Irukkam Rathina Mudaliyar, Valalar says, and again it's interesting to note how Valalar always begins his letter with certain greetings and well wishes. It is kind of evidence of his emphasis on Subham, or auspiciousness. You know, it's not blunt, and it's not insincere or shallow. And there is a certain, you know, there's a dignity and culture, and consideration, connotum, and so forth in Valalar's, the way Valalar begins his letters. And I think we can learn a lot about what can be called Tamil style, Tamil cultural style etiquette from that. So you know, Arulori Arulori Overukka Mudaliya Subagunangalil Siranda Siranjeevi. Siranjeevi is also a term that Valalar uses, a term of blessing for, in fact, immortality. Of course, in Sudha Sanmargam, Maranamilla Peruvarvu is our goal. And it's kind of interesting that many of, almost all of Valalar's letters, I think, use this word of, blessing, Siranjeevi. Siranjeevi Ratna Mudaliyarukku Sivagadakshathal Thirgayilum Sagala Sambattum உண்டாவனவாக தமது சுபசரித்திர விபவங்களை அடிக்கடி கேட்க விரும்புகின்றேன். And then in the second letter also, சிரஞ்சீவி ரத்தின முதலியாருக்கு தீர்காயிலும் சகல சம்பத்தும் மேன்மேலும் உண்டாவதாக. Now this etiquette thing that I'm pointing out, Valalar's etiquette, then you know, on another letter he says, starts, அன்பு அறிவு இரக்கம் ஒழுக்கம் முதலிய நற்குணங்களால் சிறந்து நமது கண்மணி போல் விளங்குகின்ற அன்புள்ள தங்களுக்கு. So this is etiquette, and I think that's a very important part of education. As such, it is etiquette that is sincere, not shallow, you know, have a good day, have a nice day, and so forth, said in a very mechanical fashion. Without any genuine feeling, you know. That is not the kind of thing that Valalar expresses in this letter. There is a concern for the well-being of the other person, and it is expressed, you know, by such expressions. As அன்பு அறிவு இரக்கம் ஒழுக்கம் முதலிய நற்குணங்களால் சிறந்து நமது கண்மணி போல் விளங்குகின்ற அன்புள்ள தங்களுக்கு, and so forth. So it's something to, I think, we need to recover and practice, especially in Sudha Sanmargam. Now, in any case, that letter, the other letter, Valalar says, in the kadidam kondu varigindra Siranjeevi Kumarasami Pillai, this is another person, Kumarasami Pillai, padikka vendum endru virumbi irukkira padiyal, avanukku endha vidathil padippithal padippu varumo, andha vidathil padippikka vendum. Siranjeevi Namasivayathukkum iduve. The English translation is, that since the bearer of this letter, Kumarasami Pillai, is coming there, which is again Chennai, where Irukkam Rathina Mudaliyar was residing at this time. Since the bearer of this letter, Kumarasami Pillai, is coming there with the desire to pursue his education, he should be encouraged to learn in the manner which facilitates his progress in his studies, or learn in the manner which helps his progress in his studies. Chiranjeevi Namasuvayam should also be encouraged in the same way. You have to, again, as I said, the teacher spirit lives in the teachings. So we have to really pay a lot of careful attention, gather our minds. You know, we cannot be slothful and sloppy and so forth when we are trying to engage with our teacher's teachings. Of course, you know, we are imperfect, but, you know, when we discover that we're being careless and all that, we have to pull ourselves and pay attention. Take note of the importance of the teachings. So this is in 1858, when Malalar was 35 years old, and he is expressing what is now known as student-centered learning. Student-centered education. Okay. அவனுக்கு எந்த விதத்தால் படிப்பு அந்த எந்த விதத்தில் படிப்பித்தால் படிப்பு வருமோ அந்த விதத்தில் படிப்பிக்க வேண்டும். சிரஞ்சீவி நமசிவாயத்துக்கும் இதுவே. He should be encouraged to learn in the manner which facilitates or helps his progress in his studies. And the other person, சிரஞ்சீவி நமசிவாயம், should also be encouraged in the same way. Again, I will sometimes repeat things, and I hope you'll be patient with me. I think repetition is good, as long as, of course, I'm not starting to do it too much. And if I'm starting to do it too much, you may kindly point out. So as I was saying, this is Vallalar's extraordinary emphasis on student-centered approach. This is, again, he's not saying, obviously, it's not about drumming things into the student's head and heart and soul, regardless of the student's own inclination and aptitude and what works for the student in terms of a means or method of living. No. This is, I mean, that's, you know, that's the system, horrible system that, you know, India got from the British and implemented, and also some aspects of the traditional system are also like that, although there are some good things too in the traditional Indian system, which is largely repetition. As you know, the teacher takes the text, the student repeats, the teacher gives a commentary, the student then repeats and so forth. And sometimes the student is very good, extraordinary, then questions may be asked in some discussion, and then, you know, we have students coming up with their own commentaries on, you know, whether maybe it's Upanishad or whatever it is. But usually it's just repetition. The student simply repeats what the teacher says, and the teacher basically dictates the method of learning. Now, of course, the teacher is in a privileged position to understand and communicate the subject matter communicate information on the subject matter. But Vallalar's point is that that should actually enable the teacher to also understand the bent of mind of the student. And what the student's aptitude is, and what would actually, what the student likes to do in order to learn. And that's why he says he should be encouraged to learn in the manner which facilitates his progress in his studies. அவனுக்கு எந்த விதத்தில் படிப்பித்தால் படிப்பு வருமோ அந்த விதத்தில் படிப்பிக்க வேண்டும். And obviously this is going to vary from student to student. And that's why, you know, paying attention to this factor is student-centered teaching. And in 1858, Vallalar has affirmed it. So we want to keep that in mind, you know, by way of, you know, I guess an introductory understanding of Vallalar Kattiya Kalvi Murai. Forcing the student against his or her own inclinations and what actually they prefer to do in order to learn. Of course, that's given. You know, learning process is given. But then it has to be student-centered in the sense that you have to take into account the student's bent of mind. You know, like, for example, some students are more visual learners. They like to see diagrams, pictures, maybe photographs, visual representation. And if that's how they want to learn, then we use that in this Suddhasanmargam-based approach. It's kind of commonplace, perhaps, today, you know, to speak of, especially in the West and so forth, student-centered learning. But it's extraordinary, as I've said, that Vallalar has emphasized that in 1858. And I point out in this piece in my blog that his own early experiences with the mechanical and mind-numbing rote learning, that is repetition and vomiting, you know, vomiting means just repeating and regurgitating. His own dislike of that, as we know, Vallalar didn't like to go to school, the formal education, he did not like that. And of course, later he would say that Sandai Padipu, education in the marketplace for the sake of the marketplace, you know, money and this and that. And that's why he rejected that. So perhaps it comes from his own early encounter with this kind of mechanical system of education, which again is still prevalent in India. Maybe it's changing slowly, but it's still pretty strong. Vallalar quit school in childhood, and he was self-taught. I mean, I think he was probably assisted by some of the scholars who used to visit his brother, or some of the scholars that his brother may have visited, and Vallalar may, in his with this precocious intelligence, may have absorbed a great deal more than someone in his age would normally do. But he was self-taught, you know, in many branches of learning, Tamil grammar, Tamil poetry, philosophy, architecture. Nobody, you know, he didn't go to any school to learn architecture. I'm pretty sure he discussed with some architects, you know, in places like Chidambaram or other temples he might have visited, or people with knowledge, you know, of buildings and so forth. I'm pretty sure that happened. But it was all his own process of learning. And that's why, you know, just another example, he designed this structure of Satyajnana Sabai, which is quite a remarkable structure. But, you know, Vallalar didn't have any formal training in architecture. So that we can also learn from that, and of course we know that Thoruvur has said that, Thoruvur Velayavada Mudaliyar has said that Vallalar was very active, you know. His food and everything was very simple. But he was quite, you know, ceaselessly active, meaning, you know, hardly, and Thoruvur says in his reminiscences, he was hardly known to take rest. And I think Thoruvur is recollecting, Thoruvur's recollections pertain to the time from which, at which he became acquainted with Vallalar, and that acquaintance continued, you know, through many decades. At least almost we could say two decades or something like that, 20 plus years. It's based on that, those number of years that Thoruvur knew Vallalar. And so when Thoruvur says that Valayada Mudaliyar, he says that Ramalingam was hardly known to take any rest, I mean, that also tells us something about what we need to be doing, to try and overcome sloth and laziness and that kind of stuff. Of course, we need to take rest. That goes without saying. I'll get into that later. it does also tell us about the importance of effort, ukkam and unarchi and all that, and application here to learning, with learning different things, you know, in just the way Vallalar did it. So with those preliminary observations on Vallalar's emphasis on taking into account the student's bent of mind and what kind of learning process is suitable for a particular student, well, can be a young person in your own family, your own son or daughter, let's move on to, and again, as I said, I'm only going to be painting some sketches, and then later I'll take some questions, hopefully, and then that will give me more food for thought. Now, we know that Vallalar, there are some basic principles for this program of higher education in Siddhasanmargam. And we have a University of Siddhasanmargam, a College of Siddhasanmargam. These would be the principles and the kinds of studies or inquiries or forms of research that the students would engage in. You know, and I think that's something also to at least contemplate, not just simply set up one of these usual institutions and just simply say Vallalar School or Vallalar College. That's not what I have in mind. I'm talking about college or university based on Vallalar Kattiya Kalvi Murai or based on Siddhasanmargam. I don't know if there is any such institution today in Chennai. I mean, and again, you know, they may just have the name, but I guess when I talk more about this Vallalar Kattiya Kalvi Murai higher education, noting that it's higher education that I'm talking about, not elementary or secondary education, maybe you can tell me if there is an institution which is trying to do this, or perhaps we should think about forming such an institution, founding such an institution. As you know, also in this connection, the connection to the point of Vallalar's emphasis on Kalvi, which I think there's many levels to it. Of course, there's Saga Kalvi, that's the highest form of education. But Vallalar did have a concept of Kalvi, which is different from the Sandai Padippu. You know, he started a school, you know, he included women in it, so which was a pretty revolutionary move at that time. And he had some plans to write books on his approach to education. Or at least of the program of education he had in mind. I think that would have gone into Sanmarga Vilakkam and so forth. And it is our loss. Well, in one sense we can say it is our loss, but in another sense, you know, if Vallalar did not do it in the form which he had at that time, he's doing it through other forms. Okay, ini ella degangalul ella degangalul nan puguve means of course he's universally present, cosmic consciousness. So many individuals may be doing things that Vallalar wants to accomplish. Okay, so I guess we'll just have to take it in that sense, which I am presuming is true. But we need to also be able to recognize when that's happening, when we can say, oh, this sounds like Siddhasanmargam. Of course, it may not have the label Siddhasanmargam, but if it is in agreement with Siddhasanmargam, then we have to take that it is actually an expression of Vallalar's action. I hope I'm making myself clear. So in any case, the principles for this program of higher education, let's take a look. Two things are very important, as central You'll have to give me a little bit of time. Perhaps one of you can actually have, maybe you can find it quickly. I've got some things here. Arul, but let's go to the verses on Arul. அருளல்லாத அணுவும் அசைந்திடாத அதனால் அருணலம் பரவுகின்ற அறைந்த மெய் சிவமே. ஒன்ஸ் அகெயின், அருளல்லாத அணுவும் அசைந்திடாத அதனால் அருணலம் பரவுகின்ற அறைந்த மெய் சிவமே. சோ வித்தவுட் அருள் ஈவன் அன் ஆட்டம் கெனாட் ஹேவ் எனி ஆக்டிவிட்டி. அண்ட் தேர்ஃபோர் அருள் நலம் பரவுகின்ற அறைந்த மெய்சுவமே. வாட் இஸ் திஸ் அருள் நலம் பரவுகின்ற அறைந்த மெய்சுவமே? மீன்ஸ் வி ஹாவ் டு அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட் அண்ட் ப்ராபகேட் டிசமினேட் ஆர் நாலேஜ் ஆர் அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்டிங் ஆஃப் த ஒர்க்கிங்ஸ் ஆஃப் அருள். அண்ட் அருள் ஆஸ் ஐ ஹாவ் கிளாரிஃபைட் ஆன் ஏர்லியர் ஒகேஷன்ஸ் இஸ் தி இட்ஸ் நாட் ஜஸ்ட் கடவுள் கருணை ஓர் டிவைன் கம்பேஷன். இட் இஸ் ஆக்சுவலி தி ஹையஸ்ட் சக்தி ஓர் ஃபோர்ஸ். ஸோ இட்ஸ் அருள் சக்தி ஓர் அருள் சக்தி. தட்ஸ் ஹவு வி ஹாவ் டு டேக் இட். அண்ட் வாட் வல்லலா ஹஸ் சேட் இஸ் தட் சின்ஸ் வித்தவுட் அருள் சக்தி, ஸோ இட்ஸ் நாட் ஜஸ்ட் சம் ஃபீலிங் ஓர் எமோஷன், இட்ஸ் த மோஸ்ட் பவர்ஃபுல் ஃபோர்ஸ் அட் ஒர்க். அருட்சக்தி, சின்ஸ் வித்தவுட் இட் ஈவன் ஆட்டம் கெனாட் ஹாவ் எனி ஆக்டிவிட்டி, அணு அசைந்துதாது, தேர்ஃபோர் அருள் நலம் பரவுகின்ற அறைந்தமை சுவமே. ஸோ வி ஹாவ் டு ட்ரை டு அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட் த ஒர்க்கிங்ஸ் ஆஃப் திஸ் அருட்சக்தி அண்ட் ப்ராபகேட் அவர் நாலேஜ் ஆஃப் இட், செலிப்ரேட். தட்ஸ் த ஃபர்ஸ்ட் திங். So whatever we are going to do in this program of education and Siddha Sanmargam has as its goal knowledge of Arut Sakti. And Arul Nalam Paravigandra Raindamai Sovame means so whatever, you know, whatever good, whatever the benefits this Arut Sakti has produced, we will have to... celebrate that. So the first principle then of Siddha Sanmargam, higher education based on Siddha Sanmargam, is we have to understand all our different forms of inquiry and research and all that should have the goal of understanding the workings of Arut Sakti. Okay, and then that in itself is a huge notion worth exploring. You know, how does it actually work? So, you know, taking biology, how do we orient the research to achieve this goal, or to come somewhere near this goal of understanding Arut Sakti? Okay, so any domain, anything that we are going to examine or inquire into, do research, we want to understand the workings of Arut Sakti in that domain or in that field. Okay, so these are some general principles, of course. You know, a lot of interesting issues can come when you talk about specifics. The other thing is also in the Agavo. And I want to, of course, say again that the Agavol is our source. It is our treasure, of treasure chest of the teachings of Vallala. Uyirul yam yammul uyir. Ivai unandhe uyir nalam paravugendra arindha meesuvame. So, uyir nalam, I am in all life, translation, Arut Perinjodhi says to Vallala, I am in all life and all life is in me. Therefore, work for the well-being and welfare of all life. Vir Nalam Paravaga. So that is the other central principle of any program of education based on Sudarshan Margam. First is to understand the workings of Arutsakti. All education must, higher education must strive to understand the workings of Arutsakti in and around us. And the second central principle is that whatever we try to know should have the goal of promoting the well-being, welfare of life. That would mean we have to understand the conditions which promote, which protect and promote the well-being of living beings. And of course, we also have to understand the factors that can damage or destroy living beings so that we can do what we can to protect them from such factors. Okay, so in again, to kind of recap, the two basic principles that the whole program of education, higher education in Sudarshan Marga should follow and should be in agreement with are the principles of Arul Nalam Paravuga and Uir Nalam Paravuga. First has to do with understanding the workings of Arul. Second has to do with understanding what actually promotes the well-being, welfare of living beings. Essentially, Uir Nalam, life. Okay. So let's keep that in mind. And the Uir Nalam, of course, both of them are going to bring into the picture Jivagarnya Urkam. As well, Allah has made it clear that is one of the, that is the central means of attaining Arul, it has to do with the Jivagarunyam, Uirgalukku Inbam. That's the way Uirgalukku Inbam undagum. If we practice Jivagarunya Urkam, that is, the goal of the path of compassion is to make living beings happy. Or to achieve the well-being of living beings. So the path of compassion automatically comes into the picture if we take these two principles, to understand the workings of Arul and to understand and promote the conditions for the well-being of living beings, Uir Nalam. Cannot be taken lightly, Uir Nalam Paravuga Endaraindame Sivame. Allah is saying that it came directly from Aruparunjodi. I am in all life is in me, therefore promote the well-being of life, Uir Nalam. Okay? What we have today is Uir Nasam. Okay, everything, you know, the science, technology, is producing Uir Nasam, not Uir Nalam. And you can see this in what's happening with climate change, which is the result of high levels of carbon emissions, CO2. Carbon dioxide is a greenhouse gas. That means it traps heat in the Earth's atmosphere, and the more carbon dioxide we're emitting, it's like we're making the blanket thicker and thicker, so it becomes difficult for heat to escape out into space, and it is trapped in the Earth's atmosphere, and this is already producing a lot of disturbances and destruction. Is take a look at what is going on in Australia with the massive wildfires. I'm in Nevada right next to California, and we've had these kinds of fires in California even in winter. Okay, and hopefully California will not, Australia is not showing us a kind of mirror is not mirroring what's going to happen in California and other places. The temperatures have been soaring every year in places like India. Every year has record temperatures. Okay, a lot of rivers are drying up in southern India and other places. Lakes are drying up. Hurricanes, storms, these are all becoming more and more powerful and violent, and that's again because they are driven by the excess of heat energy that is in the water. So the excess heat is also being absorbed by the oceans. And then there's the time lag for that absorbed heat to be released by the oceans. Okay, so we can expect we're still in that time lag period. We're seeing some effects in terms of these monster storms and hurricanes because they feed on the fuel or gas of the heat energy. And that's why we're seeing all this very powerful and severe and destructive hurricanes and storms and typhoons and so forth. That's also a product result of global warming. And so, and the warming of the oceans are absorbing the heat, and there's only so much they can do, and then of course they'll start releasing that heat, which will then add to the heat in the atmosphere and, you know, produce another cycle of destructive effects. You know, all this is producing weer nasam. The acidification of the oceans, that's already bleaching the coral reefs. Okay, Great Barrier Reef near Australia is undergoing destruction, unprecedented destruction. It will affect marine life. Okay, so we can't just afford to stick our heads into the monitor or, you know, whatever little thing we have going and be blind to these developments. And we can't. In Sudarshan Margam, Uyir Nalam. Uyir Ulyam, Yamul Uyir Ivai Arinde, Uyir Nalam Paravigan Rarinda Meisivame. So Uyir Nalam is the central value in Sudarshan Margam. So when we see Uyir Nasam going on, the dance of Uyir Nasam, as a result of global warming, other kinds of environmental destruction, with the kind of science and technology we have. I mean, the fault is not with science and technology as such, but with the kind of technology and destructive weer nasam producing, destruction of life, you know, this is science and technology which is destroying life. That needs to go. Okay, and the Agarwal, you know, again, I can only scratch the surface here, and this is for the coming years with Vallalar's grace to explore this. The Agarwal verses on all the elements of nature, and I hope people are following what I'm saying here. This is all Vallalar's teachings, which are absolutely remarkable and absolutely critical and crucial to the human condition today. You know, when Vallalar talks about all this Aimbudanga, okay, Katru, Veli, Ti, Neer, Man, that, you know, that's an extraordinary kind of emphasis that he is putting on the role of these elements in supporting life. And instead of having a science that understands how these Aimbudangal and other things are supporting life, what are the energies in them, properties, qualities which sustain life, which promote life, what we are doing is polluting them. Okay? With this kind of, so the science of Weer Nasam, science and technology which is polluting. And again, I want to again emphasize this. The problem is not with science and technology as such. We need science and technology, but it has to be reoriented to Weer Nalam rather than Weer Nasam. And if, then the question arises, why is science and technology, the forms of science and technology we have, producing Weer Nasam? because they are designed to produce profits rather than vir nullum. So carbon, you know, we have, you know, even nuclear power can be considered. I mean, there are hazards, but there are also, the science has given us ways to reduce the risks of the nuclear energy. But nuclear energy is one of the alternatives to consider. I mean, but there are others. Solar power. You know, I'm here in Nevada, and the place should be actually full of solar technology. But it's not. And take Chennai and places like that. I mean, they should have, you know, every corner, you know, they should have a solar energy, you know, solar panel and things like that. Every house should have one. Why not? Because of the stranglehold of the fossil fuel industries, the oil and gas. It's cheaper to produce, profitable to sell. And they don't care. I mean, they knew. I mean, there's a lot of information that has come out about how all these giant oil companies knew about global warming, but they suppressed that information. Okay, and candidates like Bernie Sanders have said that they're going to hold these oil companies accountable for this. It's just criminality, okay? It's the criminality that is directed at Vir Nullum. They knew it, but they continue with it. And what we have now in the United States is a president who is completely indifferent to Vir Nullum. And it's the same thing in India. You know, these people have a stranglehold on the economy, and they want to continue to produce oil and gas and so forth because, as I said, cheaper to produce, profitable to sell, and they don't seem to give a damn about Vir Nullum. And, you know, as practitioners or aspirants in Sudarshan Margam, we have to understand exactly what this is all about. This is all about Vir Nullum. The destruction of life, the destruction of conditions that support, sustain, and promote the well-being of life. And so we got to start freeing ourselves from this. A lot of movements are taking place in the West and also in India. You know, people are becoming aware, and we have to support that. We have to promote the knowledge that comes from science on the global warming and the Vir Nullum destruction of life that it's causing and so forth. Okay, so that was the point again on the importance, the centrality of Vir Nullum in Sudarshan Margam and what is going on today in the world, which is largely Vir Nullum. And the science and technology, Sudarshan Margam is the revolutionary path that is going to enable us to come up with forms of science and technology, that it's going to provide the value basis, the value foundation, to come up with and to promote policies and all that, to promote Vir Nullum. And to counter this wave of Vir Nullum, destruction of life, destruction of conditions that are essential for life. The revolutionary aspect has to do with the value system. And one of my former teachers actually in Canada has written a couple of books on how this machine of Vir Nullum, destruction of the conditions of life, environmental pollution, carbon emissions, and so on and so forth, you know, toxic chemicals, cancer-causing chemicals. I mean, this guy there in the White House is dismantling all kinds of regulations and curbs on environmental pollution, you know, environmental regulation on water, air and all that, everything is dismantling with the sole view, and he's very blatant about it, sole view of enabling these companies to make more profits. Okay? So, panam pay பேயுலகோர் புகழ் கணக்கும் இஸ் அன் எக்ஸ்பிரஷன் இன் தி அகவோர். பேயுலகோர் புகழ் கணக்கு, தட்ஸ் எக்ஸாக்ட்லி வாட் திஸ் இஸ், பண கணக்கு, யூ நோ, மானிட்டரி கால்குலேஷன்ஸ், பாட்டம் லைன் அண்ட் சோ ஆன் அண்ட் சோ ஃபோர்த், ப்ராஃபிட் மார்ஜின்ஸ், அண்ட் தே வான் அ சாக்ரிஃபைஸ் உயிர் ஆன் திஸ் ஆல்டர் ஆஃப் பண பேய், பண பிசாசு, ப்ராஃபிட் கால்குலேஷன்ஸ். So we have to become aware of these things and express our commitment in various ways. You know, not going to become some great thing overnight. You know, it's just small steps. As the Chinese proverb says, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with a small step. So we have to do these small, take these small steps as aspirants and practitioners of Sudarshan Marga. But anyway, as I was saying, a former teacher of mine, professor, and he's actually a member of a prestigious academy in Canada, he wrote a couple of books on how all this weird nasam is being driven by a value system that is indifferent to weird nalam or life. And he's written about life ethic and so forth. I remember talking to him about Vallalar when I was a graduate student. And I had some discussions with him that may have had, I suspect it may have had an influence on him. What we have to do then is to practice and propagate this value system of Sudarshan Marga, which is the dire need of the times. Weer Nalam oriented ethics. That's what Sudarshan Marga is. And we know where it comes from, right? Where, this is not simply a product of, human reasoning. உயிருள் யாம் எம்முள் உயிர் இவை அறிந்தே உயிர் நலம் பரவுகின்ற அறிந்த மெய்சுவமே 1872. And I think that all the things that Vallalar does there in the Agaval, which is the most remarkable and revolutionary work of spiritual insight and other forms of insight in the history of humanity, in the history of what you can call, well, it's not really religion, but religious spiritual thought. When Vallalar Kaptarul Viri, when he prays to all these, I'm trying to find it here. If you have, go ahead and point out. So where is this Kaptarul Viri? Kaptarul Viri starts 723. So around 723, Thai Karupayino Tarangiya Virgalai Ayura Kaptarul Arutparin Jodi. Muttaivai Payalum Mudu Vir Tiralgalai Atame Kaptarul Arutparin Jodi. Nilamperum Uir Vagai Nilku Anitum Alampara Kaptarul Arutparin Jodi. Where would a Vuditha Megubuir Tiralgalai Arvura Kaptarul Arutparin Jodi. Udaluru Pinial Virudal Kedavagai Adalura Kaptarul Arutparin Jodi. சிசு முதற் பருவ செயல்களின் உயிர்களை அசைவர காத்தருள் அருப்பெருஞ்சோதி. உயிருறும் உடலையும் உடலுறும் உயிரையும் அயர்வர காத்தருள் அருப்பெருஞ்சோதி. பாடுறும் அகத்தைகள் பலவினும் உயிர்களை ஆடுற காத்தருள் அருப்பெருஞ்சோதி. முச்சுடர் ஆதியால் எச்சக உயிரையும் அச்சர காத்தருள் அருப்பெருஞ்சோதி. Now notice that, I mean, I'm reading verses, those who need English translation, these are verses in the Agaval, which is Vallalar's magnum opus, a great, I think it's the greatest work of spiritual poetry that we know, consisting of 1,596 lines, and he is addressing Arutparanjodi, the ultimate reality, the immense light of supreme compassion, or the omni-light of supreme compassion, as I call it. He's addressing this omni-light, this Arutparanjodi to, he's petitioning the Arutparanjodi to protect conditions of existence of different forms of living beings. And I've always thought that he had seen in his vision the enormous destruction that is going to come. And then again, it's all well documented. They're calling this epoch, which is dominated by ignorant human beings, Anthropocene. Hello? Hello?
Yes, doctor, please continue.
Yeah, Anthropocene is this epoch that is dominated by the human species that is responsible for the extinction already of several species, and it's ongoing at a pretty incredible rate. And for those of you who are interested, you have to be interested because Sudarsanmargam is an ethical virnalam. You may want to look up The Sixth Extinction. It's a celebrated book by Elizabeth Colbert, Kolbert, The Sixth Extinction, and subtitled Unnatural History. It documents the extinction of species that human beings have been producing. But I'm reading those verses. I've just read the verses of Vallalar petitioning Arthurinjodi to protect the conditions of various forms of life. And there are two verses, and I was just reading one that goes, Muchudaradiyal etchaga virayum achara kaptharul Arthurinjodi, which is, and I was going to say it's remarkable because etchaga means in any word. How did Vallalar know? And well, let me put it this way. So this is remarkable. In 1872, Vallalar is saying, whichever in whatever world life has come about, protect the life in that world. Which means he knew that there are other worlds in which there is life. Otherwise, why would he pray to Arthurinjodi to protect life in other worlds? And now we know from, 21st century science, given the billions of stars that are out there, and they're discovering more and more Earth-like planets rotating around some of these stars, revolving around some of these stars or suns, the chances of life evolving in these other planets is extremely high elsewhere. In the universe. And so Muchudaradiyal etchaga virayum achara kaptharul Arthurinjodi becomes a very remarkable verse because it indicates that Vallalar in 1872 knew that there was life in other worlds, not just on Earth. And then he goes, Vanmugir Satyan Mayapuri Vatuyar Anara Kaptharul Arthurinjodi. Inburu Satyal Ilmai Purivat Anbura Kathurul Arthurinjodi, Enniyar Satyal Ella Ulaginum Annuir Kathurul Arthurinjodi, Enniyar Satyal Ella Ulaginum Annuir Kathurul Arthurinjodi. Again, reference to other worlds in which there is life, and he is petitioning Arthurinjodi to protect the, preserve the conditions of life in those worlds. And then he goes on about other forms of life, including Devarayallam Sigarpura Amudalitha Avagai Kaptharul Arthurinjodi, extraterrestrials. He is praying to Arthurinjodi to protect the extraterrestrial forms of life. Agappura Amudalitha Ivaradigalai Agappada Kaptharul Arthurinjodi, again higher beings, who are also living beings. Dharumaga Amadar Sati Sattargalai Arulinir Kakum Arthurinjodi. Kalamum Niyadiyam Kattiya Virayum Alura Kaptharul Arthurinjodi, and so forth. This extraordinary prayer, petition to Arthurinjodi to protect the conditions. Now you may see, the thing is, of course, Arthurinjodi is Arthurinjodi, meaning that it is the supreme light of supreme compassion, so it is going to sustain according to its niyadi, and arulakkinai, the living beings, the conditions which preserve life, and that's what's already the case. Because, there are black holes. These black holes, Subramaniam Chandrasekhar is a Nobel laureate, Indian origin physicist who did pioneering work on black holes. There's a whole science of black holes. These black holes, nothing can escape these black holes. You have suns. There are suns out there that are 100 times, have greater mass than our sun. But these black holes can chew up those suns like they're chewing up a mashed potato or something, okay? And at the center of our own universe, there's an immense black hole. And there are other black holes that are wandering around. And if one of them comes close to our solar system, it can just simply shred it, okay? It can just simply, our sun will be chewed up. And, of course, when the sun gets chewed up, the planets are all finished, including Earth. Now, what is the force that is preventing that? Okay, the black holes are, they produce Wir-Nasam. Okay, immense forces that produce Wir-Nasam or destruction of life. What is keeping them all, preventing them from destroying the conditions of life, for example, on Earth and so forth, which again depends on the sun and so on. You know, it's all connected to Purapuram or Andam, the different things in the world and the cosmos. You know, there's a very intimate connection, and there are branches of science like astrobiology and so forth that are exploring more and more this connection between life on Earth and all these other cosmic, factors. So that is already Arutparanjyothi's action, Arul action, Arut Sakti. But what then is Valala doing when he is asking Arutparanjyothi to protect? He is actually expressing the attitude we should have. He is taking the position of a devotee, and he is praying to Arutparanjyothi, thereby showing us what we should be doing, which is also have the same prayerful attitude to Arutparanjyothi and think about the protection of these different forms of life. Okay? So that again, you know, maybe Vallalar, I think, saw that, there's going to be coming epochs of great destruction of life, Wir-Nasam. And out of compassion, he was petitioning Arutparanjyothi to protect the living beings. Now, of course, that can also be done by preserving the conditions, because the existence of living beings depends on these conditions. If we destroy those conditions, then, of course, the living beings are no longer going to be there. This is different from protecting every individual living being, okay? This is not about protecting every individual living being as such. Yes, Valalar says Virgo, and that includes individual living beings, but individual living beings have a beginning and end. Yeah, that's already given. You know, you take a lake, there are fishes, crabs, or whatever, and each one has a limited lifespan. It's going to die. That's just nidhi. But I see what Valalar is saying is protect the conditions. That means the condition of the lake and so forth, which helps the fishes to live and propagate and thrive. Okay, that's what it's about. Because if you pollute the lake and make the clog it with all kinds of things, you know, you have so many horrible examples of this going on in India, among other places. Then the life in these lakes and so forth gets destroyed. It can't survive anymore because you are changing the life-sustaining properties of these water bodies. And if you're doing that, then, of course, life is not going to survive. So the distinction I'm making is between protecting, preserving conditions in which individual living beings can be born and develop, and the protecting every living being. Protecting every living being has its own limitations for the reasons I just explained. But we can do a lot to protect the conditions in which living beings are born and they survive and propagate and so forth. And so I take a lot of Vallalar's verses in the Kaatharul Viri as pertaining to the conditions which sustain the living beings. So, in any case, again, it was all an elaboration of the importance of Veer Nalam. That's the central value in Sutta Sarmargam. That's the foundation for different forms of inquiry that I'll talk about soon. But I was saying, I recalled that my former teacher, Professor Canada McMurtry, he was talking about a new value system, life-oriented new value system, life ethic, life value. That's what we need to move towards, not this, you know, it's actually dead. I mean, money, money value. Now, what is money? It's not living. And more and more, it's just a bunch of numbers in a bank account. It's usually offshore. Tax evasion and so forth by these corporations. And they are using that as the basic standard for doing whatever they are doing. So I want to anticipate something that I'm going to talk about. So what we have is the economics of Veer Nasam, the economics of destruction of life. And Sutta Sarmargam gives us the basis for an economics of Veer Nalam. So instead of doing economics, doing business that is producing Veer Nasam, we then have to, on the basis of Sutta Sarmargam, develop economics that produces Veer Nalam. Of course, the economics that is there does make its contribution to Veer Nalam. Otherwise, you know, it can't possibly continue, right? I mean, they have to produce food and all that. But then take a careful look at the quality of this. There's all kinds of chemicals that are being used, and there's a lot of research on this that are harmful. I mean, when you drink the soda and everything, that's just a bunch of chemicals that are very bad for your teeth. A lot of sugar, very bad for your health, especially in Sutta Sarmargam, where you have to monitor sugar intake. Sakkare intake must be regulated, is what Vallalar is saying. You know, in some of the Upadesa Kurupigal, it said they're attributing some crazy things to Vallalar, like you have to take more and more sakkare. No, that's not what Vallalar meant. He means regulation of sugar. That's the best way in which you can understand that. But, you know, in all these drinks and soft drinks and so forth, apparently to quench thirst, but you're just dumping more and more sugar into your body. And we know what that is going to produce, sugar imbalance and everything, insulin insulin resistance, diabetes. Okay? Well, that's a slow killer of the body. So, and other things, you know, toxic chemicals, in the water, you know, lead contamination, and again, the present administration is dismantling some of these regulations. And I don't know, maybe some of you know what is going on in India, if there was any regulation in the first place. Lead and all that, extremely harmful for the brain. You know, it can produce brain damage in children if you drink water regularly that has lead in it or other contaminants. So look at what is going on. As I said, the science and technology we have now is turning more and more into Veer Nasam. Or whether it's destroying fishes in lakes and rivers, or it's destroying human bodies, it's the same thing. Veer Nasam, destruction of life. Sutta Sarmargam gives us the basis for the value basis, because it puts Veer Nalam as the central value. The flourishing of life, the protection, preservation, and flourishing of life is the central value. It provides the value basis for a new kind of economics. Okay? Economics, as I say, economics of Veer Nalam. To counteract this global economics of Veer Nasam. Hey, you call it capitalism or whatever name you give, look at what it is doing to life. That tells us what its nature is. And we have to remember Arut Perinjodi's revelation to Vallalar. Uyirul yam yemul uyir ivai unandhe uyir nalam paravuga endru arendhamai sivame. So that is really the foundation of this whole life ethic in Sudarshan Margam. And you've had these sessions, I believe you had a session in December. Unfortunately, I couldn't join on Ella Virgalam Inbuttu Varga and so forth. Now, these are not just slogans. We can't just have these slogans that simply say Ella Virgalam Inbuttu Varga. We have to think about it. What does that mean? Okay? And in terms of institutions, economic practices, social institutions, economic practices, policies, and all that, how do we translate this into reality? Okay? It doesn't mean that you're going to, again, I just want to add this at this point, I want to take this up later, maybe in another talk. It doesn't mean that you're going to allow viruses to destroy your body because, you know, you don't want to kill viruses. Well, there are some questions about the status of viruses, or you have bacteria and so forth. You have to protect your body parasites because your degam is a very important instrument for attaining mutti and siddhi. And of course, jivakaranyam means protecting living beings. So if the animals are also dying because of certain kinds of parasite infections and so forth, diseases, then we have to prevent that. We have to use medicines, whatever, to prevent these parasites, microorganisms, from destroying these degangal or bodies. That's still, that is all consistent with compassion. So that's just to address, somebody might say, what do you know, you know, weird nalam means we shouldn't do anything about bacteria and we should allow the bacteria to invade and take over our bodies and destroy. No, that doesn't follow at all. In fact, as I just said, Jivakaranya Vurukam has to do with protecting degangal from various abhayangal, as Vallalar points out, the dangers. And disease, pini, is a danger that Vallalar has already identified, and you have to protect the degam from it. So anything that that helps to do it, you're not going around eliminating all the parasites in the world. There are actually, again, new studies have come about. There are good bacteria in our bodies. There are good microorganisms that have various useful functions, especially in the stomach. They help in digestion, you know. So without some of the bacteria, some of those good bacteria, we won't be able to digest our food. So it's not about, you know, destroying all bacteria and all that, but just doing whatever is required to protect the degam. So anyway, I hope we can, you know, all this has emphasized the importance of Uyir Nalam. There's a whole set of values based on Uyir Nalam, or the promotion of the well-being of living beings, of life, that form the basis of various things, educational research and all that in Sudarshan Margam, based on Sudarshan Margam. Now, the other thing I want to point out, again, these things can be elaborated in the future. You know that Vallalar has repeatedly referred to Agam, Agappuram, Puram, and Purappuram. So the Agam is the Anma, is the realm of the Anma, and life, Uyir. Agappuram is the Karanangal, that is the instruments of knowledge. Siddham, which helps us to make decisions, Manam, that helps us to think, and so forth. Then there is Puram, which is the body. It is Puram to the Agam, which is the soul, so Puram is the Degam. And then we have Purappuram, which is Puram to the Puram, which is the body. So Purappuram would be the immediate environment and the world. And that can, again, Purappuram extends from the immediate environment to the universe. Okay? And Vallalar, of course, constantly praises, constantly points out, or regularly points out that Aruppurunjodi is fully present in all of these four levels. And I think that's why he starts the Agavo by invoking Aruppurunjodi four times. Aruppurunjodi, 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 Aruppurunjodi. And then he ends also by invoking Aruppurunjodi four times. Aruppurunjodi, 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 Aruppurunjodi. And a piece on my blog, I've pointed out what Vallalar is doing is pointing out the full presence of Aruppurunjodi in these four levels of reality. Now, what has this got to do with the higher education? Well, higher education is about understanding these four levels and the relationships, okay? In order to understand the workings of Arul again, let's go back to Arul Nalam Paravuga, in the Arul Nalam Paravuga, you know, that verse, or that expression in that verse on Arul. So we want to understand how Arul works in Agam, that is the Anma, Agapuram, Karanangal, Puram, the Degam, and Purapuram, which is the immediate environment and the world. And in the second Vinnapam, Vallalar has already talked about how Arul has organized all these different instruments of knowledge and various other things. Karanam, Ubakaranam, and all that. It's a very remarkable document, the second petition, which is has to be a fundamental required study in any program of higher education based on Sudarshan Margam. That's cognitive psychology. And Vallalar has given a sketch of that in the second Vinnapam, when he talks about all these different Karanangal and their Ubakaranangal. All organized to help the Anma to have experience in the world, to have knowledge, to perform actions, and to grow, Adhigarip, development. Okay? So that is going to be part of the system of higher education in Sudarshan Margam. Now, we are also going to understand how the Purapuram, the environment, supports the Puram, the body. Okay, once again, how does Purapuram, the environment, the universe, the world, nature, support nature around us, outside, apparently outside around us, supports the Puram or the body? What are the life-supporting factors? What are the life destroying factors? Because there are many factors that are harmful to life, like nuclear, you know, radiation and so forth. Cosmic, there are cosmic rays that are very harmful, and our atmosphere actually protects us from that. Protects us from those rays. They are very harmful to life, and so when we understand not only the life supporting but also life destroying factors and how we can protect ourselves from the life destroying factors, all this is about how the Purapuram relates to the Puram, the body. And then we ask, how does the Puram, the body, relate to the Agapuram, the instruments of knowledge that Vallalar talks about in the second Vinnapam? And he talks about how the Degam is the basis for many of the basis of the workings of many of these cognitive faculties. Okay, and he even mentions two structures of brain. So that's going to be part of the science of Degam in Sudarshan Margam, in the University or College of Sudarshan Margam. We will study those things that Vallalar basically has given hints, suggestions, and we will pursue them. What are these two structures of the brain? Angara Mule, Ongara Mule. Okay? Angara, it's already clear, Agangara Mule. That means, everything based on Agangaram, self-centered activity, which is what we are engaging in most of the time in our ignorance or Anyanam. What kind of brain processes are involved? And this, for this, you have to do brain imaging, okay? brain imaging studies, the parts of the brain that are involved in this kind of thing, you know, self-centered activity, including survival, gratification, fulfilling your desires and, you know, asserting your ego and all that. Certainly there's a basis in the brain for these kinds of activities or actions or processes. And then there's the Omkara Mula, which has to do with the going beyond the ego, going beyond Anavam, Agangaram, and so forth, and all the vices, Avyamadi or Arum, so forth, you know, Parame, Veguli, and all that. They go along, they come with Anavam, but we have the ability to go beyond this. And Malalar, of course, among others, has shown that. You know, Buddha is another person who transcended these factors, Parame, Veguli, and so forth. I'm talking about jealousy, anger, you know, infatuation, delusion, and these kinds of mental factors. If we are doing something to overcome these things, then certain brain processes must be involved in those. And they cannot be the same as the ones that are involved in actually when you actually indulge in these things, Parame, Viguli, and so forth. There has to be a difference. And that's why Vallalar makes that distinction between Angara Mulai and Ongara Mulai, which basically means there are two structures of the brain. One helps us to go beyond or forms the basis for going beyond the ego-centeredness. That is the Ongara Mulai structure. And the other one keeps us tied to the Anavam, the ego-centeredness, and that he calls Angara Mulai. And in the university or college of Siddhasam Margam, we will take into account, of course, the brain science that's prevalent, but we will use all that to understand this distinction better, maybe even start new forms of research and so forth to find out more about this. I'm just giving you, again, sketches of the kind of studies that will be pursued in the university or college of Siddhasam Margam. Just an example there. I've already mentioned economics of Uyir Nalam. Okay, business of Uyir Nalam. You know, certainly you can create businesses, and they're starting to show up now, you know, green-based industries and so forth, that are oriented towards Uyir Nalam. I'll give you another example there, you know. Science of health. The science of health, there is a Siddhasam Margam science of health, or a science of health based on Siddhasam Margam, that is going to examine, as Vallalar has pointed out in his great compassion, the role of agaram, food, nitirai, sleep, bhayam, by which he means fear, anxiety. Essentially, he's talking about stress and maitadam, or sex. So studies of how food affects the body, studies of how sleep, you know, what, how much sleep do we need, what is really restful sleep and so forth. Then stress, what causes stress and how do we get rid of stress, and then the regulation of sexuality. It's not saying eliminate sex, although that's for higher levels of spiritual discipline, but commonly speaking, he's saying regulate it, not suppress it or remove it altogether. And so the science of health in Siddhasam Margam will involve research into all of these things. And I mentioned food. Yes, what is actually nutritious food? Well, Allah has given various hints in the Agavo. And it pertains to fruit. Fruits are involved. I've already mentioned also about regulation of sugar intake in the context of his advice on health. We can then, you know, there's vegetarian food. the different forms of vegetarian food, the ones that don't involve any killing of animal or consumption of animal meat. That's a whole science in itself, vegetarian science, to see what the nutritional vitamin mineral contents are of all these different forms of vegetarian food, and how should we regulate our diet to, take these nutritious forms of food and so on and so forth. And I mentioned sleep, regulation of sleep. And stress, again, it's very interesting. Walalar mentions biome as something that you have to consider. He says these four things produce deganashtam or deganasam. That means they produce deterioration of health and deterioration, therefore, of the body. Okay? So we'll study in detail in the University or College of Sudarshan Margam how these four factors play their role in maintaining the health of the body and what forms of regulation we need with regard to each of these four things to preserve health. In this context, again, Vallalar's own contribution. Again, we learn Vallalar was self-taught, but he did the work. He did the hard work in very challenging circumstances, not to mention people who had no understanding of what he was trying to do, with some very few exceptions. He didn't have a press at his disposal or funds to come easily to publish or to do his work. But still he continued, in a very bare, simple lifestyle. He still continued with his quite ceaseless energy and activity and produced this. And I'm talking about his muligai, work on muligai, herbs. And I don't know if anybody, I've seen a couple of works, I think, in Tamil that do some work at the commentary on, that use some of his hints, but I don't think there is a research publication or a set of research publications dealing with all the herbs that Vallalar has listed in that work on muligai on herbs, and he has also indicated their health benefits, what they can be used for. He used this for this disease or that problem and so forth. It won't do just to simply, pray to Vallalar and all that. If we're serious about Vallalar's teachings, and remember, again, the teacher lives in the teachings. Of course, the teacher is beyond the teachings, too. But the spirit of the teacher, if you want to honor the spirit of the teacher, then study the teachings, examine them, do the vicharam, and practice and so on and so forth, and communicate about these things. So where are the research publications on the herbs that Vallalar cataloged, and their effects? It's an entire research program that you can engage in. And we can use, again, all the existing research on herbs. It doesn't have to be done in a vacuum. It can also use existing research. There's been some research on some Indian herbs, on ashwagandha and so forth. And then, of course, Vallalar mentioned karisalangani and musumusukai and all that. Some research has been done on manjal and ginger, manjal or turmeric. There's a UCLA study that shows that turmeric can slow down Alzheimer's, can counteract the buildup of those plaques in the brain that is responsible for Alzheimer's disease. Ginger, benefits have been documented, so on and so forth. So that's the science of health. Is another thing that the University or College of Sudarshan Margam will pursue. Hopefully, I'm showing you, sketching some lines here, what kind of courses we can have, what would be the objectives and so forth. That's all I'm doing. And in a later talk, I'll get down to some of the details and take each of them perhaps separately and relate to contemporary literature and so on and so forth, and talk about what the courses themselves might look like and how they might be organized. So I've given you some sketches. Let me look at my notes here for some more, and then I'll wind up here. One of the things I mentioned was the relationship, this Purapuram, how does it support the Puram? How does Puram support the Agapuram? And then the Agapuram, the Karanangal, how do they serve the Anma? It's, if you read the second Vinnapam, you have some idea, and then you can develop on that basis. But the question of how the Purapuram supports the Puram, that is, how does the environment, the natural environment, and other factors in the universe, how do they sustain, support the body? There are so many factors that are responsible, like our bodies contain carbon. You know where carbon comes from the stars. Okay, so that's why Carl Sagan, the famous American astronomer, astrophysicist, he said we are made of star stuff. That's an example of Purapuram and its relationship to Puram. We are made of star stuff, meaning the carbon that's in our bodies, without which there will be no life, came originally from the stars, the exploding stars, threw out carbon into space. And that formed the basis, in fact, of life. And there is, in fact, one famous astrophysicist, can't bring his name to my mind right now. I think he was British. He did a lot of work on carbon, and then he said that it looks like a supreme intelligence has is behind this. The whole carbon, the structure of carbon and so forth, and the role it has played. He said he found it very difficult to believe that it could have all happened by accident. I'm just throwing that in there as something that some of you may be interested in pursuing if you are interested in Vicharam, in Sudarsan Margam. So the Purapuram's relation to Puram also involves primarily the Aimbuda Viri, all the verses, the extraordinary verses dealing with these Aimbudangal, the five elements as they are called. Now, they have a terrestrial aspect and they have a cosmic aspect. So the Man has a terrestrial aspect, that is the earth, but it also has a cosmic aspect, substance, solidity. That is there elsewhere. You know, the Man on other planets may not be the same as the Man on Earth, but it is still Man. It's still some kind of Man. And Valalar's verses on the nature of Man talks about, they talk about the Valalar's verses deal with all the various powers and properties of Man, and they include some verses on how this Man supports life. This is also suggested in the second Vinnapam. Okay? In second Vinnapam, let me show you this here. The book here is, here's the book. Second Vinnapam, Valala says, Aganda Puranandaragi Arupurin Jodi Kadavule. ஜீவனை ஆதரிப்பிக்கும் பூத பிருத்திவி தோற்றமும் பிருத்திவி இஸ் தி அர்த் த மண் இன் த டெரஸ்ட்ரியல் ஆஸ்பெக்ட் இட்ஸ் சொலிடிட்டி இன் தி யூனிவர்சல் ஆர் காஸ்மிக் ஆஸ்பெக்ட் ஹீ இஸ் சேயிங் ஜீவனை ஆதரிப்பிக்கும் சப்போர்ட்டிங் அகெயின் கம்ஸ் பேக் டு ஹவ் த புறப்புறம் சப்போர்ட்ஸ் த புறம் அண்ட் ஆக்சுவலி ஆல் ஆஃப் தீஸ் திங்ஸ் அல்டிமேட்லி வி ஹாவ் டு ரிலேட் டு அகம் Because that's the main thing here. You know, everything is for the agam or the anma. That's the anma. Okay, it's not just the human zegam. There's a big difference between saying the whole world exists for the human body and then to say the whole world, the universe, has come into existence to help the anma. The difference is there because the anma or the soul is also there in animal bodies. So we're not talking about anything that's only pertaining to human beings. It's about the anma in different living beings and how the various forces in the universe have developed to sustain the birth and existence and so forth of these living beings. So as Vallalar says, Jeevanai Adharvikkum Bhuta Prithvi Thotramum. So we'll have to then study part of this course of higher education and Sudarshan Margam. How does the Bhuta Prithvi, the earth, support the Jeevan, living beings? Okay? He's saying Jeevan. He's not saying Manidhan. So he's talking about living beings. Not just human beings, who are, of course, one type of living beings. And there are a lot of books that are coming out, and this is where, again, you know, Vicharam and Sudarshan Margam, we have to try and follow to some extent Vallalar's example of keeping ourselves engaged in inquiry and overcoming sloth and laziness and indifference and all that. So in any case, Bhuta Prithvi and how it supports the Jeevan or living beings, the earth element, and I was mentioning the works that have come out on mud and dirt, and dirt in the sense of mud, soil, you know. Of course, you know, it's quite evident that soil is essential for plant life. Without some of those properties that Vallalar is talking about in his verses on mud, we won't have plant life. And if there's no plant life, of course, other jivargal cannot survive, which is also a very crucial issue for global warming, because when the global warming is affecting plant life, all the other species dependent on plant life are going to be affected. And already they're talking about the effects on insects, bees, and so forth. Okay? And if we reorganize our science and technology on the basis of Sudarshan Margam, and actually develop new forms of science and technology based on Sudarshan Margam, then we will understand how Bhuta Prithvi Thotram supports living beings, how earth, mud, dirt, and all that soil support living beings, and then we will have practices, by practices I mean, you know, forms of science and technology and so forth that do not produce vir nasam, but actually help virnasam or destruction of life, but actually help in virnalam or the protection and flourishing of life. Vallalar goes on to say, Jeevanai vritti seivikkum bhudaneer thotramum. Jeevanai vilakka, that means he's talking about how water helps in the flourishing of living beings, their increase, vritti. Jeevanai vilakkan seivikkum bhudagni thotramum. Okay, how heat, agni is not just fire. Fire is one of the manifestations, but when we talk about Agni, we have to also think about heat and light. Now, heat and light and fire, fire, of course, you know, you talk about solar fire, solar flares and so forth. That's all extraordinary degree of heat that we're dealing with. So we have to understand this also in that cosmic sense, as I was saying. It's not just about earth. Fire on earth, this heat and then light and so forth, these things come into play, and that's where we then get into the physics of heat, the physics of light. But then in Sudarshan Margam, the College of Sudarshan Margam, a University of Sudarshan Margam, we're going to be seeing, we're not going to just simply study these things in the abstract, but we're going to see how they support the Jeevan. Okay? And then whatever technology we can develop, that will help to protect the Jeevan from the harmful factors, that will protect the Jeevan or the living being from harmful factors, help the Jeevan or the living being to flourish. That's what we're talking. And I think this is, you know, some may think that I'm getting carried away here, but I have my bearings. I know what I'm talking about. This is a complete new revolution. Okay? A science and technology of vir nalam. Life-oriented, life-preserving, life-protecting science and technology. That's the next revolution. And the choices are pretty stark. Either we develop this vir nalam technology and science, or we will perish. Vir nasam will come. Maybe not all life forms will be extinguished. It's all in the hands of Arth Paranjyoti, but there is karma. You know, you cannot escape from karma, which means actions have consequences. If I'm storing dynamite in my garage and then I'm playing with fire, you know what's going to happen, okay? You can't blame Arupu and Jyoti for that. It happens in terms of niyati, okay? If I am stupid enough not to know what the effect of fire is going to be on all those cases of dynamite, I have only my stupidity to blame. So if I choose to remain ignorant of all these developments in climate change and global warming, the pollution, the environmental pollution, I really don't have much of a basis to complain when I come down with cancer or some other serious health issue. Okay? Or God forbid, my wife and or children, loved ones. So these things have pretty serious consequences, you know. Karma Bedam is a very important notion in Valula. Karma Bedam means the different actions you perform and the different consequences they have. You perform intelligent actions, good actions, the consequences will be beneficial. You perform stupid actions, malicious actions, and so forth, the consequences will be harmful. So that has to be kept in mind in this context. So ஜீவனை விளக்கம் செய்விக்கும் பூதாக்னி தோற்றம் ஜீவனை அதிகரிப்பிக்கும் பூத வாயு தோற்றம் is talking about the wind principle and how that helps in the propagation of living beings. You can see that happening with, for example, plants. You know, seeds have to be scattered. Pollination occurs and you have plant life and so forth. Wind also carries germs and so forth, you know. Wind plays a very important role. And there are other properties of wind that Valalar mentions in his verses that have great importance for life. So when we understand the importance of Buddha Vayu Totram, then we're going to develop a science and technology, and we're going to develop a science, and that's going to give us a technology that's not going to pollute the wind, but that's going to harness and use the positive forces of the wind. Then we have Jivanai Vyabagam Seivikum Buddha Vali Totram, space. On Earth, it's the sky and the atmosphere. And Valalar has pointed out again with this deep insight and revolutionary insight how the sky and the atmosphere also play a role in sustaining life. Okay? So that means, again, pollution and so forth can stay in the atmosphere, and we know that the carbon emissions, carbon dioxide is getting trapped and is trapping heat in the atmosphere and so forth. These all have very adverse effects on life. So what we do to the Buddha Valley has a serious impact on life, on the jivan. Okay? So hopefully I'm giving you some indication. Then he speaks of Uba Prithvi, Uba Neer, Uba Agni, Uba Vayu. These are very interesting references. He's speaking of auxiliary earth, auxiliary water, auxiliary fire or heat, auxiliary wind, and so forth. What are these auxiliary elements? Okay, that's something to study in the university or college of Sudarshan Margam or any kind of education program. I mean, you can develop one for yourself, customized to your situation and your needs to start pursuing these things. The science in Sudarshan Margam is going to examine all of this. And remember again how it's all oriented towards Uyir Nalam, or the well-being of life, the flourishing of life, the preservation of the conditions of existence and expansion of life. There are other things, and let me just wrap up here. I've mentioned Anda Visaram and Pinda Visaram. Pinda Visaram has to do with biology, that means also human anatomy and physiology. And that's why Valalar says part of that we ask, why don't we grow hair on our forehead? Why do we grow nails? Ultimately, we come to genetics. This is a study of human physiology. He's only giving us a couple of examples of questions to pursue. But he is talking about anatomy, physiology, human anatomy, physiology, and of course anatomy, physiology of other living beings, and genetics, so that we can understand the structure of the dagum, or the body. And what would be the point of that? Well, then we can understand what is helpful to it and what is harmful to it. And it's also essential, of course, for the science of health in Sudarshan Marga. I mean, what is health? It's the health of the body. So to develop the science of health, you have to then have correct knowledge of the body to which it's all applied. Okay, so there's a whole science of health that also involves Pindavicharam, biology, genetics, and so forth, forming part of the curriculum in the University or College of Sudarshan Marga. There is Andavicharam, which is cosmology, which I've already talked about, and which also involves exactly what I was talking about in terms of the five elements, the Buddhagini, Buddha Prithvi, and so on and so forth. How do they support life? That's part of Andavicharam. And Andavicharam also includes, you know, carbon in our bodies, carbon essential for life. Where does it come from? Oh, it came from the stars. Okay, how did that happen? That's all part of Andavicharam, part of the science program in the University or College of Sudarshan Marga. Now, it's not just science, it is also art. That's why, you know, this verse, which is there in the Kathirul, really, interestingly enough, Vallalar says, Kalai arivalith kalippinil veeralam alaivara kathirul arukkarunjodhi. Can go into a commentary and explanation here, but just take note of Kalai arivu is the aesthetic arivu, artistic arivu, or the arivu that helps us to appreciate beauty and art, okay, paintings, music, and so forth. One of the implications here is that, yeah, well, of course, we have that Kalaivarivu, and the Kalaivarivu Alpuran Jodi has designed, organized it, which means we have to develop that, not neglect that. So that means artistic education, you know, education in the arts becomes central. But then again, as in everything else in Sudarshan Marga, we're not pursuing beauty merely for some sensory stimulation or excitement, but we are pursuing beauty as an indicator of the presence of Arupuran Jodi. All this Erul is the Tamil word for beauty. The Erul has come about from, ultimately it has its origins in Arupuran Jodi. So when we study beauty, Erul, and its different manifestations, using our Kalai Arivu, or artistic intellect or intelligence, we are trying to follow the road back to Arupuran Jodi. So that's the other fundamental principle. Remember, Arul, the workings of Arut Sakti. We keep that in mind, and that's what distinguishes these things in Sudarshan Margam from the other things that are now being done. Usually for commercial purposes, you know, vulgarizing everything for commercial purposes. We don't take that kind of, you know, our approach in Sudarshan Margam is completely different. So there is the arts, and it's also indicated in all the verses in the Agaval, where he praises Arupuran Jodi as the Gia, as Yar Isaye, Yar. And I was mentioning this to Gopi, I believe. Yar, you know, what happened to Yar? It's a fundamental instrument in ancient Tamil culture, stringed instrument, a zither, like a harp. So Sudarshan Margam music education, Yar will take a very prominent place. And the music for Yar, there was a Swami called Vipulananda. He's written a very good book in Tamil, very scholarly work on Yar and the music of the Yar. That will be part of the curriculum in the program of higher education in Sudarshan Margam, and we can also consider related instruments, Veena and other things, you know, the Japanese Koto, the Chinese Guzheng, and so forth. They're all stringed instruments. That'll be part of the arts program. But the verse says, verse praises Atparanjodi as the music of the yar. In Isaiye, Yerurum Isaiye, the Isaiye of the seven sounds of the Swarangal. Okay? So, that points to the importance. Again, as I said, the Agavul is a treasure chest of teachings. You know, very revolutionary teachings, teachings of extraordinarily high order, and all absolutely relevant to our present, you know, problems and challenges. So in any case, the music is already celebrated. The sound, Isai, is celebrated as a manifestation of Arupparanjodi. And so the arts education in Sutta Sanmargam will include music and also Geetam. You know, Geetam, he also invokes Geetam, Paattu, song. All of that is going to be part of Sudarshan Margam, but it will all be oriented towards Arupparanjodi, you know, an expression of devotion and our attempts to understand the presence of Arupparanjodi in various manifestations of beauty, including beauty of sound in Isai and so forth. And then finally, I know I've been saying finally, thank you for your patience, language. Language studies, you know, Vallalar himself wrote some works on grammar and so forth. And Tamil, of course, being a classical living language. Sanskrit is a classical language, but it's not a living language. Nor is Latin. Latin is not a living language, but Tamil is a living language, classical language. It's a pretty old language, and Vallalar makes a few statements that open up actually, you know, research program. He says in the second Vinnappam, I believe, that's why the second Vinnappam is very important. He says that speaking of Tamil or Tamar. He says, Idambattayum, Aravarathayum, Prayasathayum, Perumaraippayum, Podubokkayum, Undu Pannugindra, Aryam Mudhaliya Bhashaigalil, Enakku Aasai Solla Vittathu. Aryam here would be Sanskrit, and things that are derived from Sanskrit, I suppose, Hindi. Aasai Solla Vittathu. He's not saying that, you know, we should condemn you know, it doesn't make any sense to condemn any language, but he's not saying we should, he's just talking about his own interest. He's saying he developed an interest not in Sanskrit, and he has, of course, some comments on Sanskrit. He's referring to, he's saying that it's kind of, there's more effort involved in learning, and it's more difficult to learn, and so forth. And then these statements can, of course, form part of the research studies. Instead of that, payiludarkum aridarkum migavum lesudayadai, paadudarkum thidittarkum migavum inimayudayadai, saga kalviyai lesil arivuppadai, thiruvarul valathar kidaitha tenmozhi ondrinidathe manam petra seiyudhu. அத்தென்மொழிகளார் பல்வகை தோத்திர பாட்டுகளை பாடுவித்த அருளினீர். He is saying actually Arupparanjodi actually gave him this interest in Tamil and enabled him to compose all these songs and writings in Tamil. But he is also saying, again, he's making some observations about Tamil. He's saying it's easy to learn. It's very musical and so forth. And these are things that can be pursued as part of the research. You know, you can't just simply assert these things. You have to do some comparison and establish, find the evidence for these things. And one of these claims here that need to be pursued as part of any kind of research into Tamil is Tamil comparatively, Tamil grammar, comparatively easier to learn? Okay, that's a research question to pursue. I'm not aware of any research that is focused on this question. You know, there have been comparative studies of Tamil grammar and other grammars, and studies on the origin of Tamil and its relationship with other languages. But the point that Vallalar makes is a legitimate question for research. Is it really easier to learn Tamil? Is there something about the structure of Tamil, Tamil grammar, that makes it easier to learn? And is there some intrinsic or inherent musical quality in Tamil, such that the songs and other things composed in Tamil have this melodiousness? பாடுதற்கும் துதித்தற்கும் மிகவும் இனிமையுடையதாய். And then, of course, he makes this extraordinary statement. சாகா கல்வியை லேசில் அறிவிப்பதாய். He is saying Tamil has the capacity to communicate truths about Saga Kalvi, the science and art of deathlessness, in a very clear way. He is saying Tamil somehow has the power to express with clarity and ease the truths about Saga Kalvi. You know, again, that's a very arresting claim that needs to be investigated, you know, pursued. But we can start with the fundamental question of whether Tamil grammar has a simpler structure and whether that is playing a role in making Tamil a very effective medium for clear communication, expression, and so forth. Well, I mean, you know, he's not saying Tamil is the only thing that does it, but he does attribute it to Tamil. Therefore, and of course, he does make that contrast with Sanskrit, which is also another question of research. You know, are there differences between Tamil grammar and Sanskrit grammar, such that the Tamil grammar comes out to be simpler and easier to learn and so forth? This is another research project. Okay. So there are a lot of things here, to pursue. If we take our great teachers' teaching seriously, you know, again, I have to put it this way. I don't mean to offend anybody or criticize anybody, but it's not just about simply praying to Vallalar and all that. It's about sitting down and doing the work of examining the teachings, and continuing with the vicharam, and then engaging in kalvi teaching and teaching those teachings and so forth, based on vicharam, araichi, and all that. So that's the part about language. And then also, you know, there are many verses in the Agavol that deal with the number. Patinil and so forth. Where are those verses? I have the whole volume. Unfortunately, I didn't put the stickers on it. But there are many verses. So there are a set of verses in the Agavol that deal with the number. Okay, 1, 10, 100, 1,000, and so forth. Yes, I found this. Ondrinil ondre ondre yairam andra vagutta arupparinjodi. பத்திடையாயிரம் பகரதிற் கோடி அத்துற வகுத்த அறுப்பெருஞ்சோதி. நூற்றிடை இலக்கம் நுவலதில் அனந்தம் ஆற்றடை வகுத்த அறுப்பெருஞ்சோதி. கோடியில் அனந்த கோடி பல் கோடி ஆடுற வகுத்த அறுப்பெருஞ்சோதி. 1, 2, 3, 4 லைன்ஸ், 4 வெர்சஸ் ஸ்டார்டிங் அட் 621. Let me repeat them. ஒன்றில் ஒன்றே ஒன்றிடையாயிரம் அன்றர வகுத்த அறுப்பெருஞ்சோதி. பத்திரை ஆயிரம் பகரதிற் கோடி அத்துர வகுத்த அருட்பெருஞ்சோதி. நூற்றுடை இலக்கம் நுவலதில் அனந்தம் ஆற்றடை வகுத்த அருட்பெருஞ்சோதி. கோடியில் அனந்த கோடி பல் கோடி ஆடுர வகுத்த அருட்பெருஞ்சோதி. தீஸ் ஆர் டீலிங் வித் நம்பர்ஸ், ப்ராப்பர்டீஸ் ஆஃப் நம்பர்ஸ், ஸ்டார்டிங் வித் ஸ்மால் அண்ட் லார்ஜ் அண்ட் டாக்கிங் அபவுட் தேர் ரிலேஷன்ஸ். ஓகே, tell us again about the depth and breadth of Vallalar's understanding. How did he, this is all his work, and of course he would say it is the grace of Arutparanjodhi, but then he did something to deserve that grace. Okay? It's not like Sai Baba pulling something out of his sleeve, and you know, you just take it without doing any work. These verses deal with the properties of numbers, small and large numbers, and their relations. So that is mathematics in the Agama. And so Sutta Sanmargam, the higher education program, will have will focus on the theory of numbers, as it's called, you know, numbers and their properties, and take these verses that I read as the basis. And this can be pursued in a later talk. We can look at some specifics, and, you know, I have to do my homework on the theory of numbers. But it's very clear he's addressing things that pertain to the theory of numbers in mathematics, which is a very fundamental branch of mathematics. Okay? So these are all the things that can be developed, but we have to sit down, examine carefully, and formulate lines of inquiry, lines of research, and content that is going to be important for these forms of inquiry and research, and that would form part of the whole structure of courses in the system of higher education based on Sutta Sanmargam. So again, I've only sketched certain things, and I've pointed out, you know, statements in Vallalar's works, primarily the Agavo, which you can spend an entire lifetime and several lifetimes immersing oneself in. You know, that should be a main focus that I've been repeating in several of these talks. Focus on the Agavo. You know, that is almost an inexhaustible treasure chest. So I hope I made the connections, and I have pointed out certain lines that you can pursue, and also topics that we can work on, and I can address more specifics in more detail in other talks. So Aruppurunjodhi, 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 Thanipurunbharani. Thank you for your patience. I think I've exceeded my time, the usual time, but then given the topic of a whole program of higher education, a revolutionary system of higher education, that is the need of the day, based on Sutta Sanmargam and its revolutionary system of ethics and values, it did require, I think, even for this introduction, I think it did require this much time. So I thank you for your patience. And if you have any questions, suggestions, comments, welcome to hear them.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Dr. Till. That was really amazing. I think time is definitely not a restriction. You know, the more you talk, like, you know, the more we'll be benefited. So. Definitely, it's a very good thing that at least you covered all the points you wanted to. Thank you for that.
I want to say that I did feel maybe, you know, based on my own, you know, stature, which is very small, I did feel Vallalar's Arut Sakti. I did feel a little bit of it working in this presentation. And I'm not pointing to myself or anything. I'm just saying I felt that, I was myself surprised at some of the things I was saying, because I had not thought of some of these things before, but they were occurring in my mind and coming out of my mouth, which gives me lines of inquiry to pursue. So I was kind of surprised by that, but then all that's part of Arut Sakti. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Doctor. It was really amazing. Before going to the Q&A session, Raji Amma will read the disclaimer.
Okay, Gopi. Aruparanjodi, Aruparanjodi, Taniparan Karne, Aruparanjodi. Disclaimer. Vallalar Emotional Mission is headed by Thiruvaru Prakasa Vallalar, and the organization is open to one and all. There is no discrimination due to caste, religion, philosophy, race, color, language, age, sex, or any other differences. This organization will follow the principle of Vallalar and consider them as fundamental and the greatest of all. Thus, it can be considered as Samarasa Sutta Sanmarga Satya Sangam. We request all our guest speakers to stick to the principle of Vallalar in their speeches. One must be aware that the opinion of the speaker is not necessarily the opinion of Vallalar Universal Mission. All the speakers are free to deliver their messages and opinions. Also, the listeners and participants are free to support or not the speaker's opinion. However, everyone must refrain themselves from hurtful words and show love and respect to each other during their discussion. Thanks a lot, Doctor.
Thank you, Rajyama. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rajyama. Now we'll just open up the line for questions. Please mute yourself if you're not speaking so others can hear the question and answers clearly. Thank you.
Doctor, Prasanna here. I do have like a comment rather than a question. So you mentioned that, you know, Vallalar, you know, doesn't do all the things, or, you know, when he says that he would get into everyone and does what he wants, not just through Sudha Sanmarga Sangams, but to anybody. And it's one other thing I've thought about is the veganism. So veganism has been there for, like, I think a few decades now, and which is more towards, you know, protection of lives, particularly, you know, the animals and you know, mostly the animals actually. So which not just it's not just about killing and eating of animals, but using the products that are derived from these animals, which may include even the milk to honey, honey or any leather products and so on. So I think Vallalar has already started to do that through such groups. And veganism did not even come from India. Veganism, I think, started from UK, I guess, and it's now getting more popular in United States and so on. So that's something that, you know, which came up in my mind, I want to share.
Yeah, you know, you want me to respond to that, or?
Sure, please, Doctor, please.
Yeah, I think we've had this conversation almost a year or two ago, I think. I remember talking with you when you were in California about this milk. Now, you know, there are verses. Well, first of all, you talked about Vallalar. You mentioned something about Vallalar in other bodies, and there is a statement that's attributed to Vallalar that he'll enter and work in all the other bodies. That is part of the attainment of this Maramala Peruvarva. You know, you can work in any body you want. In the Jivagarnya work of Mundram Pirivu, there are some, you know, descriptions of that kind of power. And what I was trying to say was that it does, you know, we have to learn to recognize when something carries the spirit of Sudha Sanmarga in it. So, you know, when we see all these movements, environmental movements and so forth, with that the spirit of Sudha Sanmargam there. That is, Vallalar's action. Anything that expresses the values of Sudha Sanmargam carries the stamp of Vallalar's power and action. That's how we have to take it. But when you talked about the other point you made about veganism and vegetarianism, Vallalar does prescribe milk. And, you know, in the Agavo, he says, addressing Aruparanjodi, he says, Padambara Kaichiya Pasunarum Pale Idampara Urukiya Valam Pasuneye. So even Neye and Paul are Vallalar, when Vallalar accepts these as manifestations of Aruparanjodi, the way I interpret it is that he is recommending these things, or there is a recommendation in these things to use these items. Milk again, as you know, there are farms now that do not abuse cows, and they in fact provide organic food to cows. They don't pump these cows with hormones and so forth, And you can find, you know, at least the store in which I shop, there are labels. You know, the cow has not been pumped with hormones and all that. And I think they are, for the most part, true because, you know, there can be lawsuits if somebody is still lying. And I'm sure there are people that verify these things by trying to find out information about the farms in which these cows are raised and all that and milked. So I select these kinds of products. Where the cow has not been abused, it has not been pumped with hormones to increase its milk and so forth. And as long as the cow has not been harmed, then the pal that comes from these cows is acceptable in Sudarshan Margam. And I think there's evidence, a lot of evidence on the nutritional value. So that's why I describe myself as a vegetarian. Now, take eggs, for example. Of course, fertilized eggs. No, then you're killing the life there. But the unfertilized eggs, there is no living organism there, okay? It's not going to develop into a chicken or anything. And the hen just lays it. It's not anything that's harming the hen. So eggs can be taken, and, you know, eggs have protein. Again, that can be regulated. But it's not contrary to Jivakarunyam to take eggs from hens raised in a humane way. And, of course, you know, the eggs are unfertilized. Okay? So, products derived from milk obtained from cows that have not been mistreated or pumped with hormones to the detriment of their bodies, these are all acceptable. They're all consistent with Jivakarunya work. I have, of course, reduced I do still take milk regularly, this organic milk and so forth, from the kinds of, the ways in which the cows have been raised is an important factor, and the way in which the milk has been produced is also an important factor. But I take milk regularly, but I've kind of reduced cheese and all that. Occasionally, I take egg, you know, sandwich with bread and so forth, but not frequently. But I think that's consistent with Jivakarunyam. So we got to pay attention, I think, to really whether it's compatible or agreeable with the ethics of Jivakarunyam. That's the fundamental thing. And then we have to take into account the nutritional content. Okay, we cannot neglect that. Both have to be taken into consideration. So that's my response. I'm sorry if I gave you a response that's more lengthy than is necessary to be.
Sure, that's fine, Doctor. You know, my point was more towards, when you say veganism, the movement itself started towards the cruelty to the animals. So even in Manumurikanda Vasaram, Valalar mentions one of the biggest sin as கன்றுக்கு பால் ஊட்டால் கட்டி வைத்தவனோ யூனோ யூ டோன்ட் கெட் அ காஃப் டு ட்ரிங்க் இட்ஸ் யூனோ மதர்ஸ் மில்க் ரைட் ஸோ இட் இஸ் வேர் த ப்ராப்ளம் இஸ் யூனோ இஃப் இட் இஸ் டன் இன் அ கம்பேஷனேட் வே ஐ திங்க் இன் இந்தியா ஃபார் எக்ஸாம்பிள் அட்லீஸ்ட் த ட்ரெடிஷ்னல் வே தே வுட் லெட் த கவு ட்ரிங்க் த மில்க் த காஃப் ட்ரிங்க் த மில்க் பிஃபோர் அண்ட் ஆஃப்டர் யூனோ தே மில்க் த கவ் So that, I think, was a better way to treat the calves. And I think that was the primary goal. And that's what I was trying to say about. So if it is done within the principles of Jivakarunyam, I think it is good.
And, yes. No, I agree with you there. I agree with you. You don't want to encourage the consumption of milk that is produced at the expense of the nourishment of the calf. I absolutely agree with you, and you're making a very important point, and that's certainly something we have to consider. And that's why I think when we buy milk and all that, organic milk or whatever, milk from cows that have not been mistreated or pumped with hormones, we also have to take into account the conditions in those farms. And if we find that I would presume that they don't, they need the calves also to develop. You know, they can't starve out the calves. because then they can't sustain the industry. So I think it's quite safe to assume that the calf does have some access to the cow's milk, and that therefore, generally speaking, the calf, the milk that we're getting is not at the expense of the calf's nourishment. But you're absolutely right. If we know that the calf, it's coming at the expense of the calf, then we do not purchase milk from that source. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, regarding the same point, I think, if we look at it right, the two things I want to bring out here. One is having like a big farm or a profit-making industry for this milk, the way they operate is completely different than the way the small villagers would raise the cows and, farm them. So these people, I think, as you mentioned, they do it for profit and they try to maximize the profit as much as possible. And there are documentaries seeing which I became a vegan, which shows the how these the owners of the farms are cruel in not feeding the calf and so on. And so from what I have seen, maybe true, may not be true, but from the documentary perspective, they show that most of the times they separate the calf from the cow, and the food that is given to the calf is a little different than the actual milk by itself. So that's one of the things. I mean, we don't need to dwell a lot on this, but I just wanted to tell this. And second thing is, one of the biggest environmental pollution that's happening is from all these dairy industries or the meat industries. That's what, we have seen in one of the documentaries, because of which the methane levels are going up. And again, we may not need to completely stop consumption of milk. Rather, we can at least take it to an appropriate level where, you take a glass of milk or two in a day, rather than having all your food with products derived from milk. We have seen in recent days, the pastries, whatever they make, it's all based on milk. And be it an Indian food, even in India also, a lot of the sweets that they make are from milk. So at least we can try to reduce that quantity, which will definitely help. Or take what is required for our body and health, rather than consuming too much or abusing them too much by taking more, is what I would say.
Yes, but milk's nutritional value is well established, and as I said, Balalar recommends the use of milk. There's reference to milk in the Agarwal. But he also, in the Manumurai Kandavasagam, he says Kandruku Paluda, the separation of the calf, that's one of the wrong actions. So the primary concern here, I think, should be the conditions in which the milk is produced. If we have evidence that it's being produced at the expense of the calf, although, I think that they can't completely separate the, they have to allow the calf to have some milk, otherwise that will seriously affect its development, and then it cannot develop into a healthy cow. So it is in the interest of these industries, most of them at least, not to produce the milk by completely denying it to the calf. I mean, I think that that's quite safe to believe. If we have evidence again, that the kind of milk that we are consuming comes from these conditions, then we can reduce it. But if those conditions are not there, I don't see any need to reduce milk as such. Proportionate to the health needs. We don't need to use milk more than what is needed for our health. And if that's the point you're making, I completely agree.
Yes, Doctor, that's what I want to say.
Yes.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hello, Doctor. This is Raji.
Hello, Raji. How are you?
Yeah, good, Doctor. Wonderful explanation about the education about the Sutta Sanmargam. It was really nice explanation because we don't know about that, what are the things going on around us, like a science and technology said like that. So we cannot avoid the science and technology, but we have to be aware of that food and everything destroying like that. So life supporting factors, that is Uyirnalam, and life destroying factors is Uyirnasam. So we should aware of that. So then only we can learn the new things about the from science and technology, like chemicals added in so many foods like that. So we have to be aware of that. It's and he was talking about that the teacher and the students understanding like that relationship about them. So if the teacher should understand the student's capacity, then only he can teach the new ways to understanding the life like that. So it was really wonderful, and almost you touched everything, you covered everything about the Sanmargam, what it says like that. So it was really nice, Doctor, and nuclear energy was talking about, and aham, ahapuram, puram, 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 and everything. So it was really nice to hear about that. And I have 1, 2, 3, 4 questions like that, Doctor.
Please go ahead with your questions. They are very important.
Sure. And how do we differentiate? The first question is, how do we differentiate Sutta Sanmarga people from the ordinary people? Not only in Jiva Karanyam, other than that, how can we differentiate, Doctor? That's my first question.
Well, actually, you know, go ahead. So how do we differentiate? That's the first question. May I ask for some clarification here? So when you say other people, are you saying what is the difference between, a central difference between those who practice Sutta Sanmargam and those who do not?
Yes, Doctor, yes.
Okay, in other words, the question essentially is, what are the essential characteristics of those who practice of Sutta Sanmargam? It's essentially that, right? Because if we know what is essential to Sutta Sanmarga, then we also know what is essential to what is the essential characteristic of anyone who practices Sutta Sanmarga. Okay, then the next question is, I'll come back to this first question later. The next question is?
The next question is, he was talking about the two structures in brain, right? Angara Mulai and Omkara Mulai. So can you please explain it again, Doctor? For a few words.
Okay. And then the third
question is, what is axillary elements? So that's the third question. And fourth one is, what kind of new revolution, like a life-oriented new value system, you were talking about that. So what kind of revolution we can take to protect our daily life? That's my fourth question.
Okay. Well, these are all Hello?
Yes, Doctor.
Yeah, these are very good questions, Raji, and I thank you for that.
Thank you.
The first question, what is the distinctive characteristic of Sutta Sanmarga? We already have that, in the end of the first Vinappam, as you know, and it's something that all Sutta Sanmargis hopefully contemplate, which is, Sutta Sanmargathin Mukhya Tarayage Samayangal Madangal Margangal Embavatrin Achara Sangatpa Vigatpam. So, Varunam Asiramam Mudaliya Ulagachara Sangatpa Vigatpangal Yangal Manadir Patrada Vannam Arul Seidal Vendam. So, a true Sanmargi, Sutta Sanmargi, does not have these Sangatpa Vigatpangal that are mentioned. Samayangal Madangal Margangal Embavatrin Achara Sangatpa Vigatpangal, he does not have. And Varunam Asiramam Mudri Ulagachara Sangatpa Vigatpangal also, Manadil Patrada Vagai Irukum. So that's the answer to that. And then, of course, he says, Vallalar says, Sutta Sanmargathin Mukhya Lakshyamagya Armaneya Urmai Patrumai. So Siddhasan Margam, this is, you know, not an easy thing. It's easier talked about than done. This Anmaneya Urmai Paturmai is our Mukhya Lakshyam. And the Anmaneya Urmai Paturmai, of course, is expressed in Jivagarunyam. Jivagarunyam is the means, you know, there are other things that are involved. You know, sympathy for others, but perhaps I think ultimately you could say that all these things can in fact be included in Jivagarunyam. And I think this issue had come up earlier in some discussion involving you and also Prasanna, I think. For example, listening to somebody, you know, somebody has some trouble and they're talking to you about it, and listening to that with sympathy, so that in the end the person feels as if their mana bottom has removed or was removed, or the weight was removed, right? Yes. That is also part of Jivagarunyam. I would say that that's really part of also Anmane Urmai Padurmai. But you can say that's, you know, that's a manifestation or expression of compassion, trying to understand what the feelings of another person are and the words coming. Not that you have to always justify it. You know, if somebody is angry, you don't want to justify that, but you can say, yeah, I understand where you're, you know, what has caused this feeling, but look at it this way, and also look at the fact that this veguli or anger can produce more harm and so forth. All that is part of expressing Anmane Urmai, and part of, in fact, Jivagarunya Urukkam. So when these kinds of things distinguish Siddhasan Margam from Siddhasan Margam way of living, I think the question is best put as, what distinguishes Siddhasan Margam way of living and behaving and acting from other ways? And you know, Vallalar's famous line, Thai Pol, Ulagathuire Ellam Enni, and so forth, Petra Thai Pol Pesuar, and all that. Which again, you know, easier talked than done. And I, you know, speaking for myself, I have a long way to go. I have to, you know, that's still a work in progress for me, is to learn not to become critical, especially when somebody creates problems and so forth. Try to still keep that sympathy, you know. It's a very difficult mental discipline, but I think it's worth it. Because the more you do that, the more we do it, the stronger our mind becomes. See, we are cultivating patience and making our own mind stronger. And all this is part of Siddhasan Margam Sadhani. So that's my answer to that question. Next question, the two structures of the brain. I think you had asked this question also in an earlier talk. I have to do more homework on this, but what my point is simply this. It is quite established that the different types of thinking and feeling have basis in the brain. That means there is a basis in the brain, let me put it that way. Not that they are all entirely coming from the brain, but the brain being a karuvi, as Vallalar puts it, an instrument, there must be parts of it that support these kinds of mental phenomena or factors. So you take anavam, okay? Anavam is the ego, when you're thinking about yourself, what is in your interest, what you want, what you desire, and this and that. That's a particular category or type of thinking and feeling, right?
Yes, doctor.
And then somebody practicing Anmane Urmai Padu, Jivagarunya Urukkam, and so forth, and whenever they have this veguli, this, that, and the other, they're trying to overcome it, and they're making progress in overcoming these things, then that is all, that is a different type of thinking. You know, they're doing meditation and all that. All that involves completely different processes, mental processes, right? Clearly, I mean, even by, you know, brain science also would have to accept this. If the activities, the mental factors are different, then the brain processes also must be different. And Vallalar's point is a very far in advance of his times. You know, Vinayakams were written around 1872, between 1872 and 1874. And when he talks about these two types of brain structures, Angara Mulai and Ongara Mulai, he is saying that when we get into this Anmiga Vari or spiritual path, other parts of the brain that have not been active very much or hardly active become now active. It is the Ongara Mulai structure. Now, this is the point. So if you practice Jivakar in your work come, then your behavior is different from someone that is doing things contrary or against Karanya, right?
That's yes, it.
That means different kinds of brain processes must be involved. The person who is practicing Jivakaranya Vurukam is activating the Ongara Mulai or the Ongara part or structure of the Mulai. And the person who is walking on Dunmargam, completely based on Anavam, Veguli and all that, is activating the Angara Mulai, a different structure of the brain. So that is the point. That means the brain actually has the structure organized ultimately by Arupa and Jyoti. The brain actually has a structure that helps us to practice Jivakaranya Vurukam, Anmaneya Urumai Paturumai, and have these Arul Anubhavam and ultimately understand Arul Paranjodi.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's the point. So the brain has that capacity. But what is significant is that our present approach to the brain looks at everything in terms of Angara Mulai. You know, we just think that that's the only thing, Anavam and all that. But even there's a problem because there is a clear distinction between selfish and unselfish behavior.
Mm-hmm.
That means the brain processes involved in selfish behavior, there must be some difference between those processes and the brain processes involved in unselfish behavior. You know, what exactly goes on in the brain when somebody is unselfish? I mean, this is all material for more and more research. You know, and there's already some that is starting to appear. You know, they call it neuroscience of morality and so forth. If we take Vallalar's point, the research can go much deeper than that. It's not just morality or ethics, but you get into spirituality and all that. You know, so brain has the capacity to help us to develop spiritually. That is really also Vallalar's point. And that has been organized by Arul Paranjodi out of Arul.
Yes, definitely. Yeah,
thank you. So, and then your last question was the life-oriented value system.
Yes.
Again, it's really Jivakaranya Vurukam. Everything that comes from Jivakaranya Vurukam, you know, even the very word Jivakaranyam is jiva, life, right? Mm-hmm. It is the practice of compassion towards living beings. So all the values that are part of Jivakaranya Vurukam are the life-centered values. And as Vallalar says, he asked the question, what is the point of Jivakaranya Vurukam? Veergalukku inbam kodupadarku aga we are doing Jivakaranyam. Veer nalam, veer inbam, veer nalam, all of them the same. So all the life-centered values, veer nalam values, come from Jivakaranya Vurukam, and Jivakaranya Vurukam contains all of this.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much, Doctor. So what kind of revolution we can take to protect our daily life, Doctor?
Yes, there can be things done at the individual level. Personal life, and then there can be things that can be done at the social level, okay? And this is going to depend on the individual situation, how much of this you can do and how much of that you can do and so forth. First thing is we want to do, we want to look at things like our diet. So primary thing is the revolution to bring about is to switch to vegetarianism. And also consider some of the things Prasanna has pointed out, you know, don't consume milk beyond what is needed for your health and all that, just to satisfy your tongue and all that, you know. Although Vallalar still, I mean, you know, Vallalar does speak of sweet things, Panjamritam, honey and all that. So he's not opposed to some enjoyment which pertains to the tongue. So we have to keep that in mind. Vallalar Agavol does not, you know, promote some kind of ascetic way of life that is aimed at removing all forms of inbam and all that. No, that's not what the Agavol does. But yeah, certainly you want to regulate it in terms of Jivagarnya Vurga. And the other thing is, yes, I think it's, you know, we even look at Vallalar's own life, although he never held himself up as a model for others. You know, he was very, you know, because of all the experiences he had and his extraordinary discipline, his food regimen was different. His own food regimen was different. But he was not saying to others, hey, you all have to just, you know, live on very little food and drink a glass of hot water with some karkand in it occasionally, you know, and so forth. He was not saying that. He was actually, in all of his letters, he says, you know, take good care of the body. That means pay attention to nutrition and all that stuff. So in any case, food is one aspect that we have to look at. Vegetarianism becomes one of the things we have to follow. And then we have to look at other things. So, for instance, cars. You know, cut down on the use of cars. Don't use it for more than necessary. And if you can manage with just one car, and of course I'm assuming the appropriate social economic context here, if one car is sufficient, then stick with it, you know, just because your teenage son wants another car, you know, buy another car, and then your teenage daughter wants another three cars and all this kind of stuff. Okay, so cut down on that. Simplification. I think simplification is an essential part of this, but it's not ascetic. It's not like a Turavi or somebody sitting in a cave. You do have to take care of clothing in order to protect the body, Vegam. You have to give it proper food. You have to give it proper exercise. And also a selection of the environment, if we can have a choice in that respect. Move out of crowded, congested areas and into quieter areas, cleaner areas. And then do what we can to preserve the cleanliness of that environment. These are all individual things we can do. And also consumption of energy, electric energy and other things, we can begin to reduce them and keep them to just the necessary levels, you know, whatever we have to do. But these individual changes we have to make, but they are not going to be sufficient. You see, so that's why then we have to get together with other people, you know, other Suddha Sanmargam individuals or people whose values are similar to Suddha Sanmargam, okay? Or they may actually have Suddha Sanmargam values, but they may use a different name for it, okay? We have to join such groups and we have to start working with them because the policies, whatever policies are being imposed on society by the companies and the government and all that, they make a big difference. And how do we get the government to change? I mean, the government will not listen to just one individual, but if you get a group of people and then you start organizing and petitioning, you know, political representatives, MLAs and MPs and so on and so forth, in India, here your congressional and other legislative representatives, then that's something that you're doing. That's a contribution you're making. Now, it may not have immediate results, but it's still a useful contribution you are making to express the Sanmargam values. So that's also something that we need to do, and it will vary from individual to individual, how much time they can devote and so forth. So these are all the changes that we can make. But again, we have to keep the central goal of Veer Nalam and avoiding Veer Nasam to the extent possible, you know, everything that is producing Veer Nasam. So what I'll give you another example. What I've done recently is I start using baking soda. I don't use these chemicals anymore. Baking soda is a very effective cleansing agent. You know, when you wash dishes and everything, baking soda cleans out things very well, and it kills, harmful bacteria or whatever. It keeps them away. It removes bad smell. So I'm switching, now I've switched almost almost 98% to baking soda, you know, for cleaning needs. Because the other chemicals are all, have something or the other that is carcinogenic, cancer causing, So things like that, you can make these little changes and switches from one thing to something that produces less Veer Nasam or no Veer Nasam at all. And that's the way it can go, you know. And again, these specifics can be taken up in some other session and explored in detail, you know. But thank you for your questions. You know, I hope I've at least suggested the outline of an answer.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Doctor. Thanks a lot for everything.
Thank you.
Thanks, Azima. Good questions.
What
thanks,
is Azima. The axillary element, Doctor? Sorry for that.
Yes. That's, again, a very, very good question, Raji, and I have to think more about it.
Sure.
Right now, I can only say that Ubaprithvi means... it's probably some kind of structure within the earth itself, okay, or man, some kind of structure, inner structure that is helping for the man to have its properties, okay? Mm-hmm. So, that's all I can say right now, but that's an excellent question. It's something for me to think more about. I thank you for that question.
Okay, Dr. Shiv. Thank you so much.
Doctor, this is Gopi. I think that's a good point that you brought up, that you're not using baking soda.
I am using more and more of baking.
You are using baking soda and not the chemicals. I just wanted to add up and say, even we started using only vinegar for cleaning. And we stopped any chemicals. We not used that for many years. It's the same line of thought. Everything goes to the sea and in other places, sort of mixing up the chemicals. We just wanted to reduce or go with the natural cleansing agents.
Yes,
that's a very good point.
I also use vinegar. Yeah, thank you for pointing that out. And it's a reminder to me to go and restock on. Thank you.
Talking about Veer Nalam, yeah, that's a very good point. We all just live without even realizing certain things that we are doing is not, or it is contradicting to some of the beliefs. I think it's worth recalling a story from Mahabharata. I'm sure we all like stories. So just wanted to say this. So once the teacher Dronacharya, teaches some lessons to Gauravas and Pandavas, speak truth, observe your dharma, and never idle in your intellect pursuits, something like that. And he directs the students to learn and then come back next day. So they all went back, and then they came back, and Dronacharya is asking everybody that have they learned the lessons. And everyone enthusiastically replied that they learned the lessons, and then they were uttering the same lesson again to him. But Yudhishthira alone asked for forgiveness that he did not learn the lesson, and he did not repeat that. So this happened second day, third day, and fourth day. Dronacharya was a little bit worried, and he was asking for an explanation. And the fifth day, Yudhishthira said, "I've thoroughly learned the lesson. as I could understand its importance today, the teacher asked him to repeat the sentence and wanted to know. Yudhishthira replied calmly, "Sir, I did try my best but failed. At times I had been telling a lie out of sheer carelessness and sometimes out of lightheartedness. But since yesterday, I have never spoken any lies, nor I have acted wrongly," or, you know, something like that. So the point that I'm trying to say is, Yudhishthira realized what he is doing. So the action, the mind, and his belief, coming into same line, like, you know, it is synchronized. But for others, even they said yes, but sometimes we don't realize, like, you know, that we sometimes say a lie, or, like, you know, don't go by what we believe. So that very much goes with this, like, you know, what you're saying, Uyirnalam, goodness of life and society, like, you know, even though we do a lot of simple things in life, sometimes we don't realize that, you know, we're not, you know, exactly following what we believe, like the Sanmargam, Shuddha Sanmargam. So I think just wanted to share this story.
Yeah, that's a very good story. In fact, there's another one. I thought you were going to talk about the other story, but this is different. And it was good to know. The other one I had in mind was Ekalavya, you know, was a great disciple of Dronacharya. And I believe, which one was it? Maybe it was Ekalavya, maybe it was Arjuna. And it was a lesson in concentration, you know. He was asking three students who were supposed to be learning how to aim their arrow. And, of course, it's not a very good example for us. Mm-hmm. Since it's, I think, well, let's assume it was a dummy bird, you know, artificial bird. He asked one student, "What do you see?" And the student says, I see the tree and the branches." And Dronacharya says, "Next." And the next student says, "Yeah, I see the branch in which the bird is." And Dronacharya says, "Next." And then the other student then says, I see the bird." And Dronacharya says, "Next." And then I think it's Arjuna. He says, "I see the eye of the bird." And then Dronacharya says, "Shoot." You know?
So yeah, right, yeah.
About focusing and concentration. But well, your point about practice of Shuddha Sanmargam, again, we want to keep in mind that the foundation is Jivakarunyam. That means we also have to exercise compassion in the way we go about practicing these things. We cannot be like some of these, priests and others, swamis and so forth, very harsh. You know, they approach it like it's a military drill. You know, they shout and scream, "Carry on, oh, you didn't do that, you didn't do this," and so on and so forth, you know, nagging. We don't want to end up like that. Always we have to keep the Jivagarnyam in the background and be sympathetic. Yeah, there are going to be failures, you know. But unless somebody has now made a habit out of these failures and is moving farther and farther away from the path, we have to be sympathetic and, we have to provide whatever positive feedback we can, pointing out, of course, the mistakes or errors. And this is also first and foremost applicable to us. So if I do something contrary to Shuddha Sanmargam, I don't have to beat myself over the head with it and torture myself, but I have to quietly think about why I failed to do it and rationally consider how I can prevent these mistakes in the future and draw up a plan. And that's where, Swami Sivananda, I mean, there's a lot of people who have the title Swami, but very few of them actually deserve it, but Swami Sivananda deserves it. And if you read some of his writings, Swami Sivananda of Rishikesh, the Divine Life Society, is a great spiritual teacher, is a very practical orientation. He recommended a spiritual diary in which you take note of the mistakes that you've made, but then you also focus on the steps that you're taking to correct them. And every time you succeed, you make a note of that and so forth. All of these things can be done in the context of the three central workings. Of course, the fourth one is also there, but maybe in another talk in the future, I can take the Sivananda approach to the workings. In the Divine Life Society, they speak of the instructions, and one of the works pertaining to Sivananda's own advice is called 20 Spiritual Instructions. And there's a very good commentary on it by Swami Chidananda, who was a very famous disciple of Swami Sivananda. Now, we can look at the workams in Sutta Sanmargam and draw up instructions, a list of instructions. And in fact, if you start grouping them, the ones under Indriya workam, a set of instructions, as Vallala, left it for us, and then the Karana workam, these are all different instructions that he gives. As you know, in Indriya Workam and Karana Workam. And we can draw up these instructions, and then we can have a diary, daily diary pertaining to these instructions, to what extent we've been able to follow them, what are the difficulties coming in the way, and so forth. But this can all be taken up in future sessions on Sutta Sanmarga Sadhanam. But the point you're making actually pertains to Sutta Sanmarga Sadhanam. And it's not, it's not going to be a straight line. It's not going to be a smooth process because, we have our karma to deal with. And by that I mean all the past life habits and tendencies. And they've all been based on anavam, veguli, kamam, and all that. So they will keep rising their heads. But we don't want to turn into fanatics who then start screaming either at ourselves or at others when these things start raising their heads. We have to take an intelligent and compassionate response when we see it in others, and also when we see it in ourselves. So by that I don't mean you have to keep excusing yourself, but we have to try and understand ourselves also in a sympathetic way, and not, keep condemning ourselves just because we failed to do something. You see what I'm getting at?
Yeah, doctor. I think you're right. It also the concept refers to the Icha Kriya Jnanam, right? That is also kind of relates to the story that I was referring to. So whatever intellect you have, and the thought you do, and what you speak, it should be in line as well, right? I agree.
I agree with you, but what I'm saying is we don't want to approach this because the Jivagarnyam is our main thing. Gentleness of speech and all that are all fundamental values here in Sutta Sanmargam. We don't want to approach it like it's some kind of military discipline. Vallala didn't take that approach at all. But he certainly maintained standards. He said there are different methods you can use. Sometimes he said he might even use some threats, as a means of bringing someone back to workam, dandan say the solvain and so forth. But it's just used as a means to bring someone back to the path. So various methods have to be used. And this is the concept which you might find interesting. It's called skillful means. And it's used in some Buddhist practices and so forth. Skillful means. And I think we have to use. And Vallala always used skillful means. Different methods based on the person's psychology and situation and circumstance and so forth. And it's the same thing we have to practice in relation to ourselves. I have to use skillful means to understand my difficulties and the way to deal with them, and all of us have it, And again, I want to make one thing very clear, I am just a commentator. I'm just playing maybe even third fiddle, maybe sometimes second fiddle, I hope. to Vallalar. I'm just a student of Vallalar's teachings. You know, I don't have any pretensions to knowing something that you don't or anything like that. This is all just simply part of vicharam. I'm sharing certain things, you know, you're asking questions and so forth. And it's important to keep that spirit that we're all just engaged in vicharam. We are all traveling this path. We've made a commitment to travel this great path of Sutta Sanmargam. And we're all making a journey. And, you know, each person is going to encounter different kinds of things in the journey. And it's like this, you know, we're both making the same kind of journey, you know, maybe from different points of departure. But we can always text each other. I know you like texting. Text each other or email or phone call about our respective journeys and what kind of issues and problems we are facing and so forth. So again, I hope I've not wandered off from the point. The point you made is that we have to be aware of any inconsistencies or discrepancies, right? That's what you were saying, between
the
teaching and our practice, or you know, what we actually do and what we say we believe in. Yeah, you're absolutely right. But, you know, that's always, you know, it's going to be there. Until you attain,
I mean, like
until you attain mukti, it's going to be the challenges are going to be there. And I think this is going to be, have to be a part of, you know, a separate discussion. One thing is, you see, Vallalar has talked about he's given hints and suggestions, but, you know, we don't know the exact circumstances and what actually was going through his great mind. But there are no programs. He has not given us any programs other than the workams and other than the hints and suggestions in the Agaval and Jivagarnya workam. So by which I mean that he has not anticipated, he's given some suggestions about some of the difficulties, but it's not in you know, great detail. And one thing, although I think in some of the Vinappams it becomes clear when he speaks about Kamam Veguli Ralam Nirinda and Kalmanam and so forth, he's taking the position of the ordinary aspirant. And talking about the problems and challenges. So the point I'm trying to make is that there are serious difficulties here, because first of all, we have to deal with karma. And that's a very powerful force. All the things that we have done in past lives are there. They're called samskaras. And the vasanas. Agaval verses refer to those. So with these things, Veguli, Kamam, Agangaram, Anavam, and all these things, sometimes temporarily it will seem like they have subsided. But then all it takes is some incident or some kind of stimulation, and they raise their head, and sometimes they raise their head very powerfully, okay? So these are all part of the difficulties of the path, and the path has difficulties. It's not helpful to have any fantasies or some romantic notion. I started and I believe in Vallalar and Sutta Sanmargam. So right, like a, you know, like a jumbo jet or a rocket, I'm going to land in Maranamulla Purwar. Yeah, that's just a fantasy. That's just an idea, a delusion. You know, it's something that Vallalar himself says, you know, he says Madhavam. Okay. Madhavam and Perumpunyam and so forth, but Madhavam means, Vallalar says he performed Madhavam, okay? Great tapas. Tapas, of course, is self-discipline. Where are we, you know? We have to, you know, deal with whatever we have and just, you know, just keep the spirit of persistence. Come back again if you make mistakes, if you fall away. Keep coming back to it. And that's where some of the hints given by Swami Sivananda are important. He speaks, for instance, of, you know, what's called swadhyaya. That is reading of, elevating books. For us, of course, is the writings of Vallalar and anything that's compatible with them. So when the mind starts wandering away and different kinds of issues, problems come up, take a look at some of the verses in the Agavo. Repeat them and think about them. Repeat the mantra. Look at passages in the Jivagarnya Workam and so on and so forth. So as long as we keep doing that sort of thing, I think, you know, our journey is quite set. So, yes, there will be failures, but there's no need to get depressed about it. Difficulties, Vallalar himself has faced, you know, enormous difficulties and overcome them. He himself said that if I were to relate to all the troubles that I have undergone from the age of 12, even a stone would melt, okay? And he's not prone to exaggeration. Even a stone would melt if he were to relate all the troubles he faced since the age of 12 or since the age of his mind began to become aware of things. And let's not forget, you know, I mean, he was pressured to have a marriage, which he was not inclined to, and I think he just went along out of his sympathy for his family members. You know, maybe they cried and said, you gotta marry. And then he married, but he was not really interested in pursuing a married life. You know, he wanted to wander, go from temple to temple, write poems and all that, pursue his path. And of course, as you know, I think his wife passed away, but he didn't really live, you know, a regular married life. And that must have produced a lot of struggle. You know, sometimes, you know, especially in India, when we think about these great figures, we think some kind of idealization, a lot of delusion and imagination and storytelling and so forth, you know. In the case of Vallalar, we have his own poems as to all the struggles and everything else he went through. So you can imagine, you know, a person like Vallalar with a very, very soft heart, he must have certainly understood the position of his wife. You know, she must have expected a normal married life. And Vallalar must have realized, you know, I can't give that to her. And he must have gone through a lot of conflict. You know, that's why he says, and even in the letters sometimes he speaks of how he's worried about the well-being of his friends because he didn't hear from them and all that. So he's a very sensitive individual, must have undergone a lot of struggles, but eventually he overcame all that, and he himself says in the Peru Padesam, what lifted him up was Karuni. And of course, that Karuni, you know, brought the Arul, the manifestation of Arul, and that really helped him to overcome all of these things. And I always say this, and you know, I repeat once again here, at the risk of boring you, that that poem where Vallalar says that if he were to relate all the troubles and struggles he underwent from the age of 12 or something like that, even a stone would melt. That is something we got to keep reminding ourselves of, you know, just to remind ourselves of all the things he must have faced. You know, he didn't have a home. He was a homeless person. He was staying in the house of friends. Sometimes he was just out in the open. I mean, he stayed with Purushottam Reddy, who met him in Chidambaram and invited him to stay in his home. You know, that was the house where, when he was composing a poem, he kept pouring water and the lamp still burned. But he then used to leave periodically. One of the letters he says he was in a mango grove, Mambara Thottam, you know, somewhere north of Vadalur. And then, you know, Thoruvur says sometimes he used to go away and we didn't have any idea where he went. Towards the end, of course, or again, 1872, thereabouts, until 1874, he found refuge not only in the Satya Dharmasale, he was staying there sometimes, and then he moved to Metukupam, you know. And, you know, a large part, for the most part, he, you know, he preferred solitude. And then he faced a lot of persecution. Navalar, you know, Navalar's persecution, and then the Saivites, And then I think there were people that wanted to take control of the institutions that he had founded, but they were not willing to meet the qualifications. So that's why he closed the Nyanasabai. That's an extraordinary thing for Vallalar to do. You know, he closed it and he kept the key, which I think aggravated some people. All I'm saying this is he faced all of these challenges, but he attained the kind of enlightenment that enabled him to not be affected, not be disturbed by these challenges. Although he did, you know, he did feel for the people who were engaging in these kinds of behaviors. So in any case, you know, I'm sorry to go on and on like this, but the point I'm making is that when you speak of the difficulties, that's essentially what you're talking about, you know, we fail to practice and so forth, that's a very significant issue. You know, nobody's going to just get into some rocket and go straight into Maranamala Parvarva. So in future sessions, I hope other speakers also can address this. Maybe they've already done this. What are the obstacles and difficulties? Okay, we know about Jivagarnya Vorkam, we know about Amnaneya Vrumipade, we know about some of the other principles. But what are the difficulties we have to face in everyday life that come from our own nature, which is shaped by karma, previous lives and so forth, and the nature of other people, right, who are also having more or less the same things anyway, you know. These are things that cannot be avoided, you know. Otherwise, we get the misleading impression that all I need to do is read Jivagarnya Vorkam or simply recite Agaval and all the problems will disappear. No. Sometimes, in fact, the problems, as I am finding out, will become more challenging. And I always tell myself, this is Vallalar's test for you. What is your grade? Many times it's an F. Sometimes if I do my homework, it's a D. You know, I still need to get to a C. You know, so that's one way in which we can approach it. This is Vallalar's testing, you know, when these difficulties come. And here's the test. So how am I going to deal with it? And so forth. And again, fall back again on our faith in Vallalar's Arul, which is the same as Aruparanjodhi's Arul. You know, when we speak of Vallalar, we always have to think in the context of Aruparanjodhi, you know, with whom he is inseparably connected. So in any case, I know I've rambled on a little bit, but what I'm saying is, yes, the difficulties will come. We cannot ignore or overlook them. And we have to have more discussions on the kinds of difficulties that come up and how we can put some of Vallalar's hints and suggestions how to work and how we can develop them deal with these difficulties. Okay? So that's it.
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks, Doctor. Anyone else? Do you have any questions? Or we can go to the next part of the session. Now, Mr. Prasanna will do a thank you note. Prasanna, you're on mute.
Sorry. Thank you, Gopi. Dear doctor and friends, I think today we had a great session. It was a wonderful speech on a program of higher education based on Sudarshan Margam. I would say this is more of a research summary from Vallalar's philosophy and how we can build a University of Sanmargam based on the principle of protection of and promotion of life. I think Dr. Til Raghu, he went into length explaining about it. I think it's a very different view from, you know, how we have, you know, how our previous sessions have been. And this is more to see, you know, how we can establish an institution and, you know, what should be a part of that institution. Doctors started to quote from the letters that Perumaan, Valal Perumaan had written to Irukkam Ratnamudalaiyar, and how important was teaching to any student in their way, that, you know, in the manner in which it helps them to progress, quoting both Namachivayam Pillai and Kumarasamy Pillai. and you know how Perumaan actually sees that, which is very important, and that is being followed in many of the Western schools and you know very good schools in around the world. That was a very good quote. Importance. Another one was, you know, about.
Yes, Prasanna. Hello.
Sorry. You know, I mean, following that, where you know, from the verses of Arutperum Jodi Agaval, you had mentioned about Arul Nalam, which is the first you know principle that you mentioned, and the goal of promoting the well-beings of life. I think those two are very good things. Doctor, throughout your session, you had mentioned two things, Veer Nasam and Veer Nalam, which is good and which is opposite to each other. And the science and technology has to help promoting the life rather than doing Veer Nasam. Practice and propagation of the values of Sudarshan Margam. In the principles of Virul Yam Yamun Vir.
Hello?
Sorry, Doctor.
It's okay. Oh, remember, Prasanna, I also mentioned about economics and business. Economics and business in Sudarshan Margam will be geared towards Vir Nalam. And there is no reason why you cannot have successful business and a successful economic system that is oriented towards Vir Nalam.
Yeah, sure, Doctor. Yeah, I was coming to that. I think, you know,
okay.
I think economics of Veer Nalam, which is again an important thing. So, regulation of food and, you know, sleep and stress and so many different things. I think it's, you know, I can go on and on with you know, many pages of notes that I have taken. I think it really opened our eyes, and it was really a good session, Doctor. Thank you so much. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Prasanna. And just to remember that it's a sketch, because it's a program of higher education, I have to talk about all the different possible courses you could have, you know. And that's why I was talking about all these different things. They all could be part of courses or lines of research and so forth. So, you know. Hopefully I didn't give the impression that I was talking about too many things. They're all part of this program of higher education in Sudarshan Margam.
Thank you, Doctor. Thank you. Thank you, Doctor.
Oh, you're welcome, Prasanna. Thank you.
Thank you, Prasanna, for that note. Next is Satya Siruvidampam. I just did a humble attempt to translate some of the words that Vallalar used to address Arutperum Jodi Andavar. The first of this is translated. Please bear with me if I did any mistakes. The second half, like, I just copied from the internet. So let me read this. Satya Siruvinappam, a short true prayer. The natural reality, Yerkai Unmayar Endrum. The natural knowledge, Yerkai Arivinar Endrum. The natural bliss, Yerkai Inbinar Endrum. The one beyond attributes, Nirgunar Endrum. The one with pure intelligence, Sirgunar Endrum. The eternal being, Nithyar Endrum. The truth, Satyar Endrum. The one, only one, Egar Endrum. The everything, Anegar Endrum. The beginning, Adiyar Endrum. The one with no beginning, Anadiyar Endrum. The purest Amalar Endrum, the supreme grace light Arutperum Jodiyar Endrum, the miraculous Arputhar Endrum, the one beyond miracles Niradasiyar Endrum, the one who is everything Ellam Anavar Endrum, the one who has everything Ellam Udayavar Endrum, the almighty Ellam Vallavar Endrum, and other countless divine names given by wise people of pure path of truth who keeps praying, thinking, feeling and experiencing you, the one leader, the supreme king, the supreme graceful God. In your graceful kingdom, we who are smaller than a dust particle are making a petition with our tiny intelligence, requesting you to hear with your divine ears and bless us. O Aritpiran Jyoti, thou containest everything, thou art the marvelous God. May thou bestow thy grace on us. Now on, all the time, may our mind cling not to the main obstacles of Sudarshan Marga, the delusion and the erring practice of mistaken doctrines of various paths, religious cults and sects, as well as worldly system of Varnam and Ashramam. May thou bestow thy grace on us. May the main objective of Sudarshan Margam, Anmanaya Urmai Paturimai, the rights of soul brotherhood and oneness in us be always everywhere, manifest to the fullest without any deviation of any kind. O Aritpiram Jyoti Lord, thou art all things. Thou art the Supreme Divine. O Supreme, salutation to thy Supreme Grace. Aritpiram Jyoti, Aritpiram Jyoti, Tanipiram Karuna, Aritpiram Jyoti. Thank you.
Thank you, Gopi. That was good. That was good translation. Thank you.
Thank you, Doctor. Anbuma, can you sing Jyoti song?
Sure. Jyoti, 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 Suyam. Jyoti, 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 Param. Jyoti, 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 Arul. Jyoti, 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 Sivam. Vama Jyoti, Soma Jyoti. Vana Jyoti, Yana Jyoti. Maha Jyoti, Yoga Jyoti. Vada Jyoti, Nada Jyoti. Ema Jyoti, Vyoma Jyoti. Yeru Jyoti, Veeru Jyoti. Yeha Jyoti, Yeha Jyoti. Yeha Jyoti, Yeha Jyoti. Adi Nidhi Vedane. Adal Nidhi Padane. Vadi Jnana Podane. Varha Varha Nadane. Varha Varha Nadane. Varha Varha Nadane. Tirchichambalam Yellam Seyalkoodum.
Thank you, Anbuma. Vaazhi Ennai Thookki Vaitha Karathalangal, Vaazhi Yellam Valla Manimandram, Vaazhi Nadam, Vaazhi Arujyothi, Vaazhi Nadarasan, Vaazhi Sivanyana Vazhi. Vaazhi En Aandavan, Vaazhi En Kon Arul Vaaimai Endrum, Vaazhi Emman Pugal, Vaazhi En Naadan Malarpadangal, Vaazhi Mei Sudarshan Marga Perinari Maanbu Kondu, Vaazhi Ivvayamum Maanavum Matramum Vaazhiyave. Kutram Puridal Enakku Iyalbe, Gunamai Kollal Unakku Iyalbe, Sitrambalava Inichiriyen Seppum Mugaman Yaadulathu, Tetrandadiyen Sindaidanai Telivittachandu Yathirthe, Sitrai Poludhe Arujyothi Ikatarunam Iduvame, Thiruvarat Pragasa Divya Thiruvadigale Saranam Saranam Saranam. வள்ளல் மலரடி வாழ்க வாழ்க. அரட்பெரும் ஜோதி, அரட்பெரும் ஜோதி, தனிப்பெரும் கருணை, அரட்பெரும் ஜோதி. Thank you everyone for participating in this satsang.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot for everyone.
Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you.